Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Well, let me tell you what's going on today. Ozzy's got a movie review. He's doing The Guardian. We will, Jeremy McGrath in here. Superstar of motocross. And a good man. It's the noise Ozzy makes to call his wife. And our prisoner is going to be calling in David from inside the maximum security facility out here in California. We can't tell you which one it is. Oh, looks like Ozzy brought food. What a shocker.
What does that look like from here?
It's hard to tell, but Ozzy is one of these guys that he is doing his movie review somewhere in the 7 o'clock hour, but I saw him out in the parking lot 10 minutes ago. He was hurrying in. He brought food with him. He'll not rest until everybody either has a coronary or is morbidly obese. All right, Ozzy, what'd you bring in?
Oh, that looks good.
Good morning.
Morning.
Mejunga.
Mejunga. Ah.
Mejunga is the same chilaquile for the Mexican people.
Mm-hmm.
In my country, say mejunga.
So it's chili relleno?
No, it's tortilla, eggs, cilantro.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make a scampo. We all together we hang. bell pepper.
Mm.
It looks like tortilla chips soaked in egg and then fried.
Surprised you can't say the word ham.
Yeah, you look like you can say the word ham. You just don't sound like you can say the word ham. I'll try a little.
The ham is coming in surprise.
You take one
mejunga.
Well, I got to say this.
That's good.
All right, Ozzy, exit, please. Thank you.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Thank you, Ozzy.
I got to say this. It's a real departure here, you know, because normally Mexican food, you got your beans, your rice, your tortillas, and your beef. And then for breakfast, you got your beans, your rice, your beef, your tortilla, and then they add eggs. And then for lunch,
beans.
You got your... They're really a simple folk. I say that in with great love in my heart. But if you want to know why they don't have a Philharmonic or a rocket program, just go ahead and check the menu. They don't vary much. If it ain't broken, they ain't fixing it.
That flapsteak's not broken.
They figured out that there's not a whole lot better than beans, rice, tortillas, and cows, and that's about it. Not a lot of variation.
Smells delicious.
It is.
You've been eating Ozzy's food for what, 16 years now? 17?
Mm-hmm.
Something of that?
Mm-hmm.
Mahunga.
Mm. Yeah, he cooks.
I mean, he could really cook.
Yeah, now I got a mouthful. So, what was I going to say?
You were going to say what we were having on the show today.
Mm.
Mahunga.
Yeah, I think I'm done with the mahunga and with that. Well, let's see. Something I forgot to get to. Well, we saw Jamashek and I saw each other over at Kimmel's.
Ah, football Sunday.
Another
you're invited, by the way, Teresa.
Am I really?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I might be intruding.
Mm-mm. No. No.
Right.
You'd be welcome there. As a matter of fact, it came up yesterday. Where's Teresa?
Yeah. That is with the Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I will take Jimmy up on that, and you.
Jimmy made a wonderful, like, Polish sausage or kielbasa on the grill. He also grilled chicken drumsticks, I believe, barbecued.
Yes, you never see that. Just the drumsticks. That's all it was, but they were delicious.
Yeah, so he fired up the grill. We ate the kielbasa. Big Tad showed up, brought some pie with him with his newfound loot.
Was he gloating over his victory?
He was glowing. Big Tad, who'd won 10 grand yesterday, or I should say on Friday, brought his used some of his money to buy pies. People, I got a little crap from Kimmel and I don't know who else. A little disappointed that I flipped the coin at the end. But I said, it was good radio. What do I care?
A lot of people upset about the coin flip.
Really?
Yep.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
they felt it undercut the competition somehow because in Kimmel's mind and many others, apparently Stern was the runaway winner and
mm-hmm.
Tad should have just been handed the loot.
Mm-hmm. Which was fine. I, you know, kind of quasi agree with him, but I thought, you know, basically this is how we do the show. First off, it's my money. Secondly, there's one person that would like the loot just handed to Tad, and then there's thousands of others that would love to see me flip the coin. I mean, it's just a majority rule kind of thing. doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I'm parting with 10 grand. I could definitely just hand it over to Tad, but I thought it'd be nice radio if I said I was going to flip this coin. And it was tension-filled.
It was stressful.
And you concocted this scheme as you made water in the public urinal, yes?
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about flipping the coin. I mean, for those of you who are curious the way I work, I don't think about that much until I actually get there. I find a lot of people want to talk about a lot of stuff before you arrive, and I'm the wrong guy to talk to.
You're not about lip service. You're a man of action.
Nah, I'm lazy. Oh, is what it is.
What about
I realize?
The moment?
I was trying to jazz it up.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not that. I'm just. Here's what I am. I'm a lazy guy who seems to get away with it when I don't prepare most of the time, just enough so that's good enough. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like when we were leaving, I did the think tank out here in Los Angeles where all the jocks get together. I did that on Friday after the show and trade barbs with each other. As I was leaving, a writer, Mike Lynch, said, here's a few zingers for you, you know, to take with you on the road in case someone says this about you, you can fire back with that. And I said, nah. And he said, what, you don't like them? I mean, you don't think they're good? And I said, no, they're good. I don't want to think about stuff before I do it. I'll just do it.
That's your process.
Why go through life preparing for everything? Why not just do it? That's right. So I was taking a whiz, and you also have to have the faith that good things will come to you in the moment. Now, if you're going to go up there and you're just going to be a blank slate, well, then you should bring some things with you to the party. But I was taking a whiz, and I decided, and this was at the end of the show, it was like 9:45, I decided flipping a coin. A, I wouldn't take any crap from August or Tad. Maybe a little more from Tad, but ultimately it was the coin that decided, and then B, it would be good radio. I think we're going to do a little bit of a recap of that at some point tonight, or some point this morning, I should say. A couple of things. I never did get to it, but I went to Wolfgang Puck's restaurant, Cut.
Oh, that's his hot new place.
Yeah, I went there last weekend, or the weekend before, a week and a half ago, whenever it was. I got to say, you know, there's a lot of hoity-toity restaurants that don't impress me. It's the same food that you could get up the street at the Ma and Pa Fish Place. It's just presented in a way that somehow tries to rationalize the extra pay. But cut above.
Really? What'd you have?
I got to say, I got the Kobe beef, which everyone should go for when they have a chance. It's expensive. It's not that expensive, but I will tell you this. There are good steak joints around town that we go to, like Arnie Morton's, for instance. Nice steak joint. You know what you're getting. Big portions. Really satisfies, I should say. The difference between a place like Cut and Arnie Morton's is the difference between a place like Arnie Morton's and Outback Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. It is a quantum leap ahead, which is amazing because I didn't know you could do cow that much better. But it's just the sides. They just kept, they knew who I was, so they buffed us out a little. They kept the appetizers coming and everything. But, man, I got to tell you, and a couple things that made it super satisfying. First off, it's at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel. I used to clean their carpet.
Oh.
I love to go back to places whose carpet I formerly cleaned. I am like MacArthur returning to the Philippines. We did, I think, an upfront there, one of those media, here's the new fall schedule things. We did one at the Grand Ballroom at the Beverly Hilton a year or so ago, and it was great because the last time I was in the Grand Ballroom at the Beverly Hilton, I was cleaning the carpet, and it is a football field's worth of carpet. I could always remember when that assignment came down, me and Ray and my buddy Chris was always like, oh, Christ, this can be an all-nighter. But there also used to be another place called the Pink Turtle. And that is where Cut is. They tore down a few walls and they, you know, put down some flooring and they changed things completely. But in the former footprint of the Pink Turtle, the place I used to clean the carpet of, and my boss convinced us that they had surveillance cameras up in the place so that we wouldn't steal Danish. That is now where Cut is. And so felt nice coming back. Also saw Rod Stewart. Rod Stewart is one of these guys. I've met him a couple times. He had to have a stomach pump.
That's right.
Yeah, He ordered the semen appetizer.
How did that one get started? That's a topic for another time. But how did that one get going and sweep the nation? Everyone knew that little story.
Well, everyone must have known the whole Rod Stewart ingested too much.
And the Wheaties batter. Kid and the Wheaties kid died eating Pop Rocks or life cereal.
Oh, yeah.
He mixed soda pop and Pop Rocks.
I didn't have a chance
exploded.
To get into Rod with about that topic. We didn't broach that one, but I will say this:
I can't imagine why not over dinner.
Rod Stewart is one of these guys that looks like a Rod Stewart impersonator when you see him out of the house. He has his hair gelled up so it's standing up in that sort of just famous Rod Stewart shag. He has his shirt undone to his navel. He is dressed like leather. He's wearing like tight jeans and boots and, you know, paisley shirt with a leather vest and stuff. I mean, he was so Rod Stewarted out. It was weird. And the same thing happened when I met Hasselhoff, or when I ran across Hasselhoff 8 months earlier. I was at the LA Auto Show, and I saw a guy from a distance standing in front of the Lamborghinis holding court on the inside of the velvet rope where everyone was, you know, not allowed. The car's too new. Inside of the velvet rope, bunch of photographers around. Here's a guy, shirt undone to here, boots, big hair, you know, spray on tan. And I'm like, look at this Hasselhoff wannabe over here. Well, it turns out it's Hasselhoff. And I am interested in celebrities that do impersonations of themselves when they leave the house. Like, now, it's one or the other. Either the guy puts the fedora hat on, the wraparound shades, and the motorcycle jacket, and that's Brad Pitt just trying to make his way through Los Angeles without being followed home. Or you get Rod Stewart or David Hasselhoff dressed as Hasselhoff and Stewart. I mean, there's no mistaking these guys from across a restaurant or across a crowded LA convention center where the auto show was. The only thing that would throw you off the track is you would assume these guys were impersonators. They look so much like the characters that they created. Now, on one hand, well, that's the way Rod Stewart dresses. On the other hand, he must get off on a certain degree. I mean, he must get off on being recognized, because certainly if you dress like this, this is not the way to just, you know, slip under the radar.
Yeah,
when you head out.
He's not incognito at the Beverly Wilshire dressed up like that.
Right. Also, he likes, you know, 8 foot tall blonde chicks. So I guess that already is sort of a siren that goes off. I mean, super tall, hot blonde chicks. If Rod doesn't catch your eye, you'll find his woman's big blonde head and then you'll find him.
Well, I was going to say, it's interesting. Yeah, like Peyton Manning, for instance, doesn't go out about town in the football uniform. He takes off the number 18 and the helmet.
Right.
And same way, what would it be for you, Carolla? You going out in a bowling shirt and having a girl jumping on a trampoline behind you would identify. Hey, that's got to be Adam Carolla over there.
I did that until she hit her head on an overpass. She got a little overzealous. I probably shouldn't have had the toe hitch set up on it. Yeah, the thing that's amazing about human beings, talked about this a long time ago, it is pretty amazing. I'd like to look into this. I can, especially when I was doing the man show, the man show was always, I was always shaven, always shaved, always put makeup on. Never wore a baseball hat, and I never wore sunglasses. So those are the things, like if you watch the man show, you're not going to see me with a beard, a hat, or sunglasses.
Camel's your beard.
Almost ever. You would not see it. But I used to head out, and when I was just dressed like I normally dress, I'd always wear a baseball hat, always wear sunglasses, and usually have about 3 days' growth, and be walking down the street, and somebody be driving past me the other way, honk the horn, hey, man show. Now, how the hell do they know from 40 feet away, going 30 miles an hour the other way, and I'm wearing something they've never seen me in? They've only seen Adam Carolla from the man show without the sunglasses, without the hat, without the beard. How do human beings pick that stuff up? I mean, I'm sure there's a certain amount of body language, movement, things that we don't, you know, we focus on the face, but there's got to be some posture and stuff involved. I don't look like a ton of people, but there's nothing that unique about me. Glasses, hat, beard, boom, honking the horn. Hey, man show. Where does that come from? How are we able to detect that from such a distance? And mustn't it be more than just your visual or just your face? How else do people pick that up? You know what I'm saying?
It's funny you say that because I feel like most people are pretty bad at identifying. You know, like a lot of times you can be Brad Pitt's in the room and you're like, Brad Pitt is standing 15 feet behind you.
Right.
You're like, wait, I don't see him. I don't see him.
Well,
Keep it down. He's right there.
People don't notice things very well, but once they see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how it works, but
anyway.
I think
it's a TV thing, because somehow, people always say that, I've read that before, that people on TV, very recognizable, and then people go up to you all the time, but movie stars are left alone.
Well, Rod Stewart was very recognizable, and so is Hasselhoff. Well, where are we? Yes, we need to take a break. We're going to do...
Mahunga?
We're going to end each show by saying Mahunga. We're going to do What Can Adam Complain About? Or we can do What's Wrong With Our Country. I'm trying to think. What do you guys think?
Let's roll the dice.
We got the tried and true What Can Adam Complain About, but you want to go with What's Wrong With Our Country? Let's go with What's Wrong With Our Country. We haven't done this before.
People should call in and tell you what's wrong with our country.
Yeah, let's see what you can do. Let's see if you guys can figure something out. Now, you'll have to do is get my party started, get my ball rolling. I'll jump in and pick up and probably finish whatever thoughts you had, or at least correct yours and make them my own. Either way, 866-901-ADAM. What's wrong with our country? We'll talk to you after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM and tell us what's wrong with the country. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I'm delighted by your response. We got a lot of good phone calls on this. Ozzy brought a picnic. We're going to work, not the Hollywood Bowl, Ozzy. He showed up with 80 pounds worth of grub and spread it out all over the kitchen.
Along with mahunga, he also has, it looks like fried chicken, he calls it chili chicken. It looks delicious, spicy chicken.
At 6:22.
All right, let's see. Let's start off, thank you, by talking to John. John?
Hey, Adam, how you guys doing?
Good, what's happening?
Not much. You guys can't complain about too much food, for goodness sake. But I'll tell you what's wrong with the country. Marijuana laws. When I come home after a hard day digging holes, I'm a landscaper, I want a beer and I want a bong hit. One is legal and one is not.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's... No, look, I agree. And, you know, as a child of a hippie, you know, and hung out and remember talking to people. I remember in the early 70s, all my mom and her hippie buddies talking about legalizing marijuana. Late 60s, early 70s. The idea, like, if you said to one of them in 1971, how long until marijuana is decriminalized or legalized, they would have said, sometime by November. If you would have told them we'd be to 2006, I mean, you know what would have been a cool thing to say? I would have loved to pull all the hippies aside in 1971, all my mom's friends, Happy and Zorback and Access and all the good hippies.
Rainbow
and Pegasus. And
Unity.
Said, listen, stoners, put the bongs down and open your ears for just one second. In the year 2006? Yeah. That's right. 35 years from now, there will be no flying cars. Pot will be just as illegal as it ever was, except for that lid that you bought, Happy. That's going to cost $120 instead of $10. And cars will be powered by fossil fuel, same way, same thing we do, and they'll get in the same gas mileage. They all would have killed themselves right then and there on the spot. Or no one would have believed me. They would have called me a heretic.
On the bright side, we all don't have to wear silver unitards.
Right. Yeah, I don't know why we can't figure the legalization of pot out. I don't understand it. Every time I turn on the news and there's some big drug bust and they're going into the hills of Oregon and they're burning down, the amount we spend on marijuana dwarfs the amount we spend on speed, methamphetamines, which is the one that actually kills people.
Yeah.
I don't understand as far as the government goes. To me, all the government needs to do is figure out how to keep the people safe. That's about it. Keep the roads moving, keep the people safe. Keep, if there's going to be a hurricane that's going to hit, then we got to build higher flood walls around the levees. We have to protect ourselves against the terrorists, and we have to protect each other from killing each other. Pot never got anyone hurt. Speed gets people killed all the time. And that's all you need to know. All right,
yes.
Let's see. Illegal immigration. Let's talk to Steve. Steve?
Hey, Adam, how's it hanging, bro?
Good. What's going on?
I think that illegal immigration is a huge problem for us. You know, I mean, I've got no problem with people who want to make a better life for themselves, but, you know, when they start sneaking over the border in the hundreds of thousands, it starts to become a little bit of a problem. You know what I'm saying?
I guess you're calling from California?
Yep, Southern Cal.
Yeah. See, people from around the country don't know what it's like to live in Southern California. The top four radio stations are Spanish radio stations. Everything is by this and by that. You'll see everything in every different language there is. And yes, I totally agree. And the problem is Whitey is scared of being called a racist if Whitey speaks up. But here's what I'll say. Forget about Mexico, because they're a different color than we are, and there's a racial component to it. Let's just say it's France. Let's just replace Mexico with France. Our culture is being hijacked by the French. Top four radio stations in California or in Los Angeles, French-speaking radio stations. French being taught at the schools. French, you must be able to speak English and French now if you're going to get a teaching credential. The signs must be written in French as well as in English. Well, how fast would we put an end to that? How fast would Whitey pipe up and say, whoa, wait a minute, this is in France? This is the United States. And yes, if you folks want to come over here and, you know, open a croissant shop, that's fine. But we're not going to write the street name in French. We're not going to print the menu in French. We're not going to have marches where you guys wave the French flag and go up and down the street. How fast will we put an end to that? It'd be done immediately. But we have so much white guilt. See, we're torn here because we're Californians and we're lefty and we're soft and we have white guilt. So because the people that are coming over aren't white, we just open our arms to them. And the idea of stopping the immigration or putting a fence up or whatever is considered the height of racism. Fine. L.A. is essentially Mexico now. And if it's not yet, it certainly will be by the time our kids are able to get a job, pay their taxes, and do that. So if that's what you want, if you want this to be the place the folks fled from, so be it. I'm not calling that a great plan as far as big picture planning. There's one place over here. Don't call it Mexico. Let's just call it Space B. And there's one place, which is Space A. Space B is a dump. Space B has corruption. It has poverty. It has kids being born out of wedlock. It has disease. It has crime. It has everything. It is so effed up. Space B is so effed up that everyone is fleeing. They can't find a job. They can't raise their kids. They can't make a living. So everyone is fleeing Space B. Well, where are they fleeing to? Space A. Because Space A has jobs. It has government. It has police. It has officials that aren't corrupt. It has hospitals. It has infrastructure. It has everything. So everyone from Space B is going to Space A. Well, how long before Space A becomes Space B if we don't limit the amount of Bers who come here? I said beer, not beaner, by the way. But you know what I'm saying. And do the math, everybody. How long? Do you think there's a difference between Los Angeles and Tijuana other than some arbitrary stripe in a desert? No. It's the culture. It's the people. And if there's too many, that's what we'll become. And we will not want to be Space B. Believe me, we don't want to be. We're already slowly becoming that. But everyone's a puss, and no one wants to pipe up. And then they start arguing about putting a wall. Yes, put a wall up. Put whatever you can do up. Look, when you go to the airport, you do whatever you can do before you get onto that plane. It's metal detectors. It's take your shoes off. It's empty your bags out. Whatever it is, we have something we're trying to accomplish. We don't want people that are unchecked getting from the terminal onto the airplane. We don't want people going from the Cinnabon onto the airplane before passing through. That's the objective. That's why we've then set up this line of defense. Well, we don't want people from Space B willy-nilly coming into Space A. So, well, then we'll do everything we can do to prevent that. But no, somehow that's not correct politically. Even though everyone knows that's the plan, it's like saying, well, the metal detector at the airport's not politically correct. It's like, well, you want to check everyone before they get on the plane, don't you? Yeah, sure. No, we don't argue. Whoa, we all agree on that much. Well, how about putting a metal detector in? Please, that has implications. Well, don't you want to check the people that are getting onto the goddamn plane? Oh, yeah. Oh, no, we all agree on that. Well, put the metal detector in. It's not that easy. Well, isn't it that easy? We don't want people from Space B getting into our Space A and effing it up. That's it. put a wall, put the guards, do whatever it is. And look, all you folks that are scared to speak up, your kids be going to private schools, and you'll be moving to Oregon soon. Believe
so,
you me.
California is going to become Mexico,
yes.
And pot will still be illegal at that point.
That's what we have to look forward to.
California's already Mexico, isn't
it? It's already Mexico. And listen, I don't want to say anything about the Mexican people and get anyone pissed off, but the place is a dump. That's why they're coming here, people. They're coming here because their country is ruined, and one could do the math, they've ruined it. So now they're heading over here, and what are we going to do about it?
And if I'm not mistaken, they're already the majority race in California. I know that white
true.
People are
yes.
minority
and then
now.
What you get is a bunch of politicians who just want to get votes, so they just bend over backwards to the majority, and now you have a little snowballing effect, and that's fine. That's fine, except for when the infrastructure collapses over here, and then you'll just have Villaraigosa talking to a bunch of peasants about nothing.
Well, it's very complicated because then there's the cheap labor issue, and are these immigrants helping our economy
afloat? I don't buy that. I and everyone I went to high school with clean carpets for $6 an hour out of high school. Here's the deal. If you're poor and you don't have a great education, you have three options. You have the military, you have junior college, and you have get a job at McDonald's, get a job picking something, get a job cleaning something. That's what you do. As long as they're poor people, doesn't matter what color they are, as long as they're poor people, they'll always be people to man the mop, man the spatula, and to pick the whatever's out in the field. That's the way it'll work. Yes, maybe prices will go up marginally. That's what happens. All I'm saying is B is a dump, A was a paradise. Somebody stop all the beers from coming into the airs and turning it into a dump. That's all. All right. It's easy math to me. I don't, you know, all this stuff gets super easy when you just eliminate the races.
It's
don't
true.
Go America. Don't go Mexico. Just go the snooches and the sneeches. Turn it into a Dr. Seuss book and you'll figure out how easy it is. All right. Let's see. Let's see. Let's talk to Mario. Mario?
Yeah, good morning, Adam.
What's up?
You know, I'm thinking election time politics. Mm-hmm. You know, we got these real serious issues around all the time. They sit on the back burner, and then now these guys want to get reelected, you know, and for us to pay their paychecks again. Mm-hmm. And now they want to start talking about these issues and dealing with them.
Well, I just don't like the part where, you know, Bush goes on the campaign trail. Everyone is supposed to have a job goes on a campaign trail and they stop doing their job, which makes me think maybe they're not doing so much of their job anyway, or they're not so important. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, the last year or 18 months of everyone's 4-year term, they're off just on the road. They're out in Indiana stumping for some Republican I've never heard of.
Absolutely.
I mean, imagine how much time this takes. For Christ's sake, the president. You know what I mean? I mean, if you think about it, whose job is more important than the president of the United States? And this guy is traveling all over, and he's, you know, on I was going to say Westwood One.
Strategery.
Different plane. He's on Air Force One. He's traveling all over the place on our dime. Must cost, you know, 500 grand every time they crank the motor over on Air Force One and him and the Secret Service hit the road. But here he is out stumping for horrible Republicans and places we'll never go. Shouldn't he be hanging out? Doesn't he have some paperwork to do? What's he doing?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
the same security briefings.
Same with all elected officials. These guys spend the first part of their term getting acclimated. By the time they get acclimated, they're into year two, and then becomes.
Then they make a bogus war, and then they go out.
Then
and
the re-campaign,
for
yes.
But yeah, actually, though, and the issues just sit there the whole time.
All right.
Fortunately, with this particular president, no one wants him to be out stumping for him. In fact, the ads, the anti-Schwarzenegger ads right now are like, "Hey, actually, the tagline here in California for the Schwarzenegger ads is he's too much like Bush."
I know. Hold on, Ramon says I'm a racist. Ramon.
Hey, Adam.
What's happening?
Hey, man, you know what? I'm tired of your racist BS.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, tell me what was racist about what I said.
Here you go on your banter about what's wrong with America, and they have these guys calling in about illegal immigration and going on and on about what the problem is. Okay, it is, you know what, everybody's worried about the Mexican border and bordering up. How about the Canadian border? There's, you know, I've heard reports there's like 45 roads all over Canada that there's no checkpoints or anything. Everybody's worried about the Mexican border and about illegal immigration and all that.
We don't have a problem with Canadians illegally coming into this country. That's why.
No. But you're talking about securing borders. And everybody's worried about securing the Mexican border.
Right.
Because nobody's worried about the Canadian border.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, people are coming over. Look, well, if you're a terrorist, are you going to attack America? Are you going to walk 1,200 miles through the desert? Or are you just going to fly into Canada, rent a car, and just drive into the United States?
We're not talking about terrorism. We're talking about illegal immigration.
No, we're talking about securing the borders, too.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
We're talking about an influx of illegals. Yes.
Let's talk about illegal immigration. Everybody calls this guy back. The guy just called right now talking about it's a major problem. You know, I tell you what. Let me talk to that guy, and when he goes in a restaurant, the next time he goes in a restaurant, I want him to go to the owners and say, you know what? I need you to check everybody to see if they're legal.
Well,
you know? I'm tired of this hypocritical stuff.
What's the hypocritical stuff?
Because everybody's pointing at the illegal immigrants, and nobody's pointing at the system that allows this hypocrisy. I can't believe it. You know, you see, You were in construction, right?
Yes.
You were in construction. Okay.
Yes.
You see all the, and I'm trying not to be blunt here, but you see all these people, you know, you see basically all the Mexicans working,
yes.
And you see all the white guys in the freaking in the trucks and all that, the foremen and the owners, the independent contractors,
the white guys work too, but yes, okay. Mostly Mexicans and almost no blacks.
Okay, and you know all these guys know that 90% of these people are not legal.
Yes.
Okay, but yet they turn a deaf ear to it or whatever.
No. Here's the situation. It's the same with drugs. There's always going to be...
It's hypocritical.
All right. Well, please make a point, would you, Ramon?
My point is everybody, it's a hypocrisy. Everybody's talking about illegal immigration, but who's around it? Your neighbor, the same people are complaining about it are the same people that are involved in it.
All right. Look, everybody... Here's human nature. Everyone's always going to take advantage of a situation. It's like we talk about with the gas prices. If gas is $1 a gallon, everyone's going to drive a Suburban or a Denali. That's just the way it is. You want to get people out of the Denali, make it $8 a gallon and people will stop. Same with drugs. Plentiful amounts of coke for a penny a gram, people are going to buy it and people are going to do it. You have to cut it off before it comes in. Yes, as long, I totally agree with you. If you took 8 out of 10 people who had to hire, you can pay $5 for an illegal or you can pay $10 for a non-illegal. 8 out of 10 Americans, I don't care if they're Republican, I don't care if they're Bible thumpers, I don't care if they're flag wavers. I said fag wavers. It's a different culture. Yeah. It's a scooter gang that build the board op rides with on the every second Sunday of the month. The point is yes, people are going to opt and take the $5 people. I restaurant, people that own restaurants are going to do this. People that own construction companies are going to do this. I will do this. Everyone will do this. That's why we need to stiffen up the border.
Yeah, and Ramon makes a good point, which is that a lot of business owners are not getting busted for hiring illegals.
Yes, they should. But the first thing we need to do is put up a fence so B can't make it into A. Richard?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Adam?
What's happening? Nothing. You got something to say, Richard?
I just wanted to yell at that dude, Ramon, but it don't sound like he's there no more. So,
no.
I can think, got much to say.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody wants everything open to every... Let's just put it this way. Los Angeles, 50 years ago, you could use the schools. Today, not so much. 50 years from now, well, what do you think? So I'll just do the math.
That's why I moved out of L.A. You know what I mean? I got a little girl now, and I don't want her going to L.A. public schools. That's why I moved way far away.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Where are you
it's
from?
No place to raise. I live in the city of Upland right now.
Mm.
Where are your people from?
My family's from Mexico. My father's family's from Mexico. My mother's family's from Ireland.
And you don't think this is a racist argument?
Not at all.
No, look, here's the thing. Most the Mexican-Americans that are here are for stiffening the borders up a little, too. It's just, look, here's the deal. Whatever the culture is, I don't want it to be one culture. The great thing about Los Angeles is it is a melting pot of many different cultures. When it becomes one predominantly, then we're screwed. And it is fastly becoming one.
Now the Chipotle sauce is drowning out all the other flavors.
That's right. All right. Let's stop with the politics and make with the comedy. T.
Yes.
News. What's coming up in it?
Well, talk about what's wrong with this country. There is so much sexual perversion going on. This weekend alone, there was a Republican representative sending these nasty emails. We're going to talk about that. And more To Catch a Predator, clips of that.
Oh. It's my favorite show.
It's back.
It's back.
I'm making Toll House cookies. Let yourself in.
As a 14-year-old girl, you're chasing a cat around. You've got Cool Whip.
Chris Hansen took it to a new level.
To take your pants off and enjoy some sweet tea. I'll be out in a minute.
Now they're out back in a hot tub. It is beautiful.
I got to say this. I know we're going to break, but I got to tell you, I am so terrorized by that show that I walked into my own house on Friday.
Really?
And I said, I yelled out to my wife, Lynette, what's going on? Where's Molly? And she said, just come on in. Just come in. I'll be down in a minute. No, thank you. No, thank you.
She
I
said
sat
she
right
back.
Went back out in the car. Just sat in the car.
I'm no Rube. You just went the whole weekend in the car.
And then I'd fling open the pantry door looking for the camera crew. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with the hippest program director in town, Jack Silver.
Jack needs a lozenge. What up, peeps? Time to kick the tires and light the fires on this bad boy. Hey, Ozzy's going to review the box office smash The Guardian. Supercross star Jeremy McGrath in studio. And basic cable classics with our new sports guy. I mean ESPN sports guy, Bill Simmons. Hey, we got to get more TNA up in here. And I don't mean Ted in August. Late.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, forget about me. Here's Teresa Strasser with the news.
Lots of TNA in the news, but unfortunately, it's of an illegal and disturbing variety in most cases, with the big story over the weekend being Republican leaders scrambling to contain the fallout from the latest political scandal. The FBI confirmed yesterday that it is now examining Republican Representative Mark Foley's email exchanges with teenage boys to see if laws were broken. Foley, who is a congressman from Florida, resigned Friday amid allegations that he'd sent sexually charged emails and text messages to boys working his congressional pages, one of them 16 years old. Now, I checked ABC.com, which has transcripts of some of these instant messages, and it's unclear whether he was soliciting sex, but they were very, very inappropriate.
Well, let me say this about all that stuff. Like when they talk about the 41-year-old guy that was shacked up with the 13-year-old. When I find out they didn't have sex, it's creepier. If you're going to try to hang out with young boys and you're 50-year-old Republican, if you're not trying to bang them, it's creepier. At least there's a motive. At least I can wrap my mind around what you're doing. At least there's a name for it. You just hanging out and buddying up with 15 and 16-year-olds is creepier. How do you send emails, for Christ's sake, to a 16? It's not only my feeling, like a lot of people think, well, I don't want these sexual perverts running our country. I don't want these idiots running our country. Forget about the sexual part. How goddamn stupid do you have to be to just leave a paper trail, electronic paper trail, sending emails to 16-year-olds? And these aren't guys that are living in foster care. These are 16-year-old pages.
Yes.
I'm guessing they have responsible parents that check up on them, and
yes,
they're
it's
not
prestigious to be a page.
They don't
the
have
House.
Self-esteem issues. You're not going to give them a lollipop and get them to be quiet.
I don't want a politician who's not strong enough to win the heart of a teen.
Well,
me too. Yes, I agree.
The instant messaging. I think the middle-aged guy, first of all, it's sad when he's trying to use IM talk, like he's Avril Lavigne. It's depressing. Then it's clear that he doesn't understand that instant messaging can be very easily found on your computer. And you see, when you read these on the ABC News site, and they say that they have confirmed that they are indeed from Foley, there is a progression. First, he starts asking the kid about lacrosse practice. And what is he wearing? And he has, like, nice legs. Then he asks him what position he masturbates in. And you see the progression.
Nothing sexual there. No. Just trying to get to know his pages.
Well, and apparently Republicans knew about it, and they said they thought the emails were just, quote, overly friendly. So
this stuff is always funnier when it happens to a Republican.
I know.
Because these guys are stuffed into their bad Navy suits and their hair's all parted to the side. And it's just that much funnier when they're creepy.
Well, adding to the, well, it's unfortunate, but it's ironic. This particular congressman helped write some legislation that said that soliciting sex from a minor online is a federal crime.
See, that's why whenever you take too much interest in any one topic, I want you arrested. You know, like, that's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do when I'm in charge. I'm going to get a group of single guys together, and I'm going to go, look, I got a Weebelo troop that's going up to Mount Pinos this weekend. It's going to be a three-dayer. You guys will be bivouacking, camping, the usual stuff, roasting marshmallows. Do I have any volunteers? First five hands I see go up. All right, you're arrested.
Okay.
The guy went leading that troop's the guy who's like, oh, like, Christ, the Steelers are on this weekend. I'm sorry, get up to that mountain. Ah, God damn it. That's the guy who's not going to molest anyone. I see that hand go flying up. Anytime someone writes a book on anything, there's trouble.
Well, if anyone is stopping sexual predators, it is Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC. Friday night, he came back strong. I've never seen anything like it. He had guys leaving through the garage and the cops tackling him while other guys were coming in through the front door to be caught. Now, so their new setup is they've got this 18-year-old actress posing as a 13-year-old, and they take him to the back where there's a hot tub. She's making him lemonade. And
sweet tea was what she was making them before.
Oh, it was so disturbing. Now, here's a clip of a would-be pedophile getting busted by Chris Hansen. You will hear the decoy, who's an 18-year-old actress, posing as a 13-year-old virgin online.
Thought you were supposed to be in the hot tub already.
Oh, I'm just getting dressed. I've got a surprise for you.
I guess I'm probably not the surprise you expected, am I?
You are exactly the surprise.
Why don't you have a seat over there for me?
You're exactly what I was expecting.
I am?
Pretty much.
Then why did you come anyway?
I don't know. Because I'm really stupid.
Yeah, I like when they explore the guys. Do we have more of this?
Oh, yeah. Here's a little bit more of the exchange with that particular guy.
I'll tell you, I spent a lot of time online in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Developing these stupid fantasies. And I actually went so far a few months ago is to delete my ideas, just get rid of it all.
You knew you had a problem.
I knew I had a problem. And then the other day, I got back online.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then another guy comes in, and Chris Hansen asks him the standard question.
Now, did you bring condoms with you?
No.
There's none in your car?
Well, there is. I always carry
condoms. You always carry condoms in your car?
Yes. But I wouldn't do that to a 13-year-old, believe me.
The problem is that your conversation makes it sound like you would do that with a 13-year-old.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that.
Have you ever had an orgasm? Well, if you were my girl, I will give you the best one in your life.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do that to
just
her.
Talk.
Only unless if she was 18 or, you know.
You're going to hang out here for 5 years until she gets 18.
I was like this one, too. You just came over to do what? Just hang out, shoot some snooker, you know, maybe eat some hot wings. Yeah, really, because I have your emails here saying you're come over and boff the bejesus out of my brains. Yeah, but that's just talk. I just came by. I thought we'd just hang out, maybe go bowling or something. One guy literally said, shoot some pool. I'd take the 13-year out and shoot some pool. And then they go, all right, well, if you just came over to shoot some pool, you mind if we look in the truck? Because we found a 55-gallon drum of Astro Glide, and we found some lard and some Benoit balls and a dental dam and a 40-pack of condoms. And, and this book that says how to lie to investigative journalists when you've been popped because you on internet scams. And that's the beauty of it, what's in the truck.
Oh,
and it's always a truck.
It's
by
always
the way.
A truck. And this one gentleman, because they had so much traffic at this house, this one gentleman drove up in his pickup truck, and then he saw another guy go in, and maybe his spidey sense said, oh, maybe there's a Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC's in there. So he left, and the cops chased him. They tracked him down. They arrested him for intent to have sex with this 13-year-old, and in his car, a penis pump. right in the front seat.
Well, listen, you, some guys carry a spare. Other guys carry a can of Fix-A-Flat. Let me repair my flat the way I do it.
That's how I roll.
Well, okay. And yet another sexually disturbing story. Dustin Diamond, who you know is Screech from Saved by the Bell, has a new sex tape. Screech himself told CNN that he and his buddies have a game where every month they get together and they try to one-up each other with their sex tapes. I don't know. I can't imagine guys doing this. Maybe this is not as gay as it sounds. Now, there's a 50-minute sex tape that may or may not be distributed online. Dustin Diamond is saying he doesn't want it to be distributed, but the rumor is that this tape involves Screech, two women, and one Dirty Sanchez. I don't even know what a Dirty Sanchez is.
Oh, stop it.
I do not know.
Saved by the smell. I saw Screech on TV a few weeks back selling Screech t-shirts in order to pay his mortgage.
Yes.
Or something super pathetic like that. So
yes.
I'm wondering if this isn't attached to that overall careers. Wheels have come off the career wagon. I'm trying to make my mortgage.
Yes, it does sound as though he's involved with the distribution of the tapes. He says he's not, but I'm sure it will all be available online for the low, low price of $29.95.
Yes.
Happy Yom Kippur. Today is the Day of Atonement. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Happy days for fans of Southern California-style baseball. Both the Dodgers and Padres are in the playoffs. Padres win the division. Dodgers get in as a wild card. Probably, though, slightly more satisfying for the Blue Bum since they clinched it on the field of arch-rival San Francisco Giants right in front of Barry the Creep Bonds and company. Tuesday, this means the Pods play host to the St. Louis Cardinals. A's at Minnesota, who snuck past the Detroit Tigers to steal the AL Central. You know, A's fans can skip work at 10 a.m. local time. That first game will begin. Wednesday, Dodgers go against the Mets over in New York, or as we learned when we were over there, the locals call it the Big Apple.
Ooh.
I love that.
Cute.
I think it's clever.
Yeah.
Now, it's time to huddle up.
You ought to do that, and I don't know how. I mean, I'm not the comedian, but we'll work that into one of your skits.
Yeah,
okay.
Like you take a bite
cute.
Out of it.
Yeah, your comedy
something.
Skits.
Yeah,
yes.
do something with the Big Apple in one of your comedy skits.
All right, let's huddle up. Time to talk about the
Thanks,
weekend
Mom.
That was in football. First of all, name of the week, college, Lemuel Jean-Pierre.
Nice.
Lemuel. I love that name. South Carolina defensive lineman. Happy Yom Kippur to him. Award for making a bad thing worse. There's this new anti-celebration penalty in the NFL. If you dance with one of your teammates or involve them in a spike dance after a touchdown or whatever, you get a penalty. It's a stupid rule, but given that it's a rule and
yes.
they will mark off penalties, why would you be dancing? Why would you be engaging in this when you know you're going to get flagged for it?
You sound like Chris Hansen right now, asking a predator.
Fair enough, yes.
I got to say, I was watching the game last night, I don't know, or yesterday. Somebody made a pick, went out of bounds, and then just carried it another 20 yards into the end zone and began the dancing. Then they tacked on 15 yards and put them out of field goal range, and they lost the game, or they tied it and then lost it. But either way, I would argue, again, maybe I'm being very racial this morning, but I would argue, much like the American Indians get to do peyote, it's a right of theirs. Asking the black man not to celebrate is a cultural attack and maybe an impossibility. Who knows? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can get a young brother not to dance after he makes a pick and takes it to the house. It may be physically impossible. We need to do studies before we make these rules. I don't know.
There is no racial bigotry here.
I think if
racist.
You want, if you took it into a clinical setting and you took a young black man and had him score a touchdown and a white guy and had him score a touchdown and you held a gun to his mother's head and said, if I see so much as any celebrating, he would still take the ball and throw it up into the stands. I say, and this is not a racist thing. I just think it needs to be studied. Thank you, David.
Interesting. From using ethnic slurs.
Ugliest uniform matchup in the NFL. Perhaps this is going to hold up for the entire season. Those hideous all-navy blue Buffalo Bills uniforms against the new shiny purple pants of the Vikings. Vikings, you had nice uniforms. Why fix what isn't broke? Please go back to the old uniforms. They're just hideous. Worst time zone to be from if you're an NFL fan. Pacific time zone. Niners got shut out 41-0 by the previously winless Chiefs. Chargers lost in the last minute at the Ravens. Oakland blew a 21-3 lead at home to the woeful Cleveland Browns. Seattle shamed on national TV in Chicago by the Bears. The only good news is that Kurt Warner sufficiently sucked that you would assume that Matt Leinart era will begin.
I think it's official. Yeah, Seattle. By the way, if anyone's keeping any stats on them, I bet on them for two games this year and bet against them for two games. The two games I took them. Guess how many touchdowns they've scored? Zero. Zero in two games. The two games I didn't take them, they've scored 9 or 10 touchdowns
in
those two games.
We'll get to that in one moment, Bub, and I think the tears will stop flowing finally.
Yes.
But first, let me say the other thing that's driven me crazy so far in this NFL season is the NBC football theme song sung by Pink, because nothing says football, nothing gets my game face on better than hearing Pink.
Right.
Sing a Joan Jett knockoff. All right. You think that one's bad, though? I've gotten access to the rejected songs. You think
really?
The Pink songs?
These are
terrible.
Ones that didn't make it.
Yes. Take a listen to Barry Manilow's attempt to strike the theme.
I like football and those black muscly guys. I like football and those tight pants they wear. I like football. My wang a mile high. I like football. I like big balls.
Now that's really stupid. Yeah. That's really stupid. All right, now let's take a list.
That's
look.
Too bad he spent a lot of time on that.
At the football picks.
It's too bad Barry spent a lot of time on that.
In the studio trying to make it happen.
All right, the football picks for week four. Of course, we went into the week. Dave, red hot, 21 of his last 23, 10-2 on this season. Let's take a look, though, what we did this week. So, first of all, San Diego at Baltimore. Baltimore was -2.5. Adam Carolla, who was 8-8 on the season. Actually, no.
No,
wait,
lower.
You were
worse than 8-8.
Yes, you were much worse than that. You were 5-7 on
five
the season.
5-7.
You took Baltimore. You were correct. The rest of us took the San Diego Chargers. You were the only one who was correct. That made you one up on the rest of us. Is Jesse Jane on the line?
Yes, Jesse.
Hi.
Playboy TV's Jesse Jane. Good to speak to you. So you lost your first game, my dear, but let's see how you did in the second one. How did Molly, my dog, do? She lost as
Molly
well?
Molly also took San Diego. She lost. All right, the next game, Arizona,
I will beat her
Atlanta.
Severely when I get home, by the way.
Cardinals, we're at
I'm talking
the Falcons.
About you, Jesse.
Oh, I like that.
All right, sorry.
Jesse is already 0-1, one in the hole.
Mm.
She's a triple input girl, though. Don't worry. So, -7.5 were the Falcons. We all took the Falcons. We all were correct.
Mm.
Seattle at Chicago, as I mentioned, the Bears bludgeoned the Seahawks.
Mm.
The Bears were giving -3.5. They won easily 37-6. Carolla took the Seahawks, as did Molly the dog, the faithful best friend.
Mm.
Jesse and I, however, took the Bears.
Smart.
Finally, the New England Patriots visited the Cincinnati Bengals. Two hateable teams, if there ever were some. New England pasted the Bengals 38-13. Everybody took the Cincinnati Bengals. Dave, Molly the dog, Jesse Jane, except for Adam Carolla, went with New England. Adam Carolla, believe it or not, takes the week 3-1.
Oh.
Damashek falls to 2-2. It's a swoon in my world of picking. Jesse Jane, also 2-2. How say you, Jane?
You know what? I lost my shirt to that one game, the Cincinnati game. But I guess I always lose my shirt, so it wasn't really that big of a deal.
Nice.
Have you ever worn a shirt, Jesse?
Not really, no.
So, Jesse, what's on the docket for today? What do you do? Mound of coke, have sex with Ron Jeremy, and then into the studio? Or how does it work?
Well, I was thinking of pleasuring myself. Thinking about you, Adam, because your voice is just so sexy. And then I'll probably do it again and again, and then maybe go work out. Have a margarita. And then who knows?
That's exactly how I pictured it.
So, and how are you celebrating Yom Kippur? What are we in?
It's the Day of Atonement today. It's you fast and you think about all the things you've done wrong.
I'll tell you, how about in terms of some personal sacrifice, you only masturbate 6 times a day and limit it to an 8-ball?
It's going to be a tough one.
All right, but for all the Jews, come on now.
Just leave the salt off the margarita, maybe.
All right, I'll keep the salt off.
All right, Jesse Jane, Playboy Television, Night Calls, Friday nights, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And it runs all the time. Thank you. We'll be talking to you for our next week's picks on Friday, right, guys?
Right. I assume she's going to get to work on breaking down game film on that Chargers-Steelers game. It's going to be a tough one to call.
She and you tied this week.
All right, let's spin the wheel. Now, on the wheel.
So I'm up 600 for the year.
That's
here
right.
On you, Carolla. I've won every week until week 4.
That's right. But this is where the worm turns, my friend. Now, on the wheel is $100. We thought it'd be funner instead of just establishing an amount, like I'll bet you $100 or $500 before the games. Let's see who wins, and then we'll spin the wheel. We'll add a little extra on top of our burger here. It has 100, 250, 500, 5,000. Angie, this would be your cue to move the wheel so that I can read what's up there. Winner, now loser. This is the reverse. If it lands on the winner, now loser, then I'll have to go spin it.
Ooh.
And Dave will get the money.
Is there any chance it's going to be anything other than $5,000?
Spin again. $50. What else is on there? Another spin again. Double last week's money. So if it lands on that one, you owe me $1,000 as it landed on 500 last time.
I see.
Okay. Right. Ready to spin the wheel? Give it a good one, Angie.
Come on, 50 cents. He's literally a millionaire.
That's
he doesn't
right.
need my 5K.
I didn't get rich by only winning 50 cents at a time, my peasant friend. Oh, it's slowing down.
Please,
spin again.
On Yom Kippur, 50 cents.
No! $1,000.
Fantastic. Carolla wins once and gets $1,000.
1,000, and it was so close on landing on reverse, the winner now, the loser.
But I'm 12-4 on the year. Corolla's 8-8, and now I'm into him for $400.
That's
400
right.
400 big ones.
All right. Sweet Jesus.
That's why we spend the
Dave Damashek's number one sport.
More proof that there's no God.
I'm on Yom Kippur of all days.
All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Ozzy is coming in next, my faithful sidekick. Ozzy, he's going to review The Guardian, number 2.
Yeah.
I think in theaters.
That's right.
A close number 2. Ashton Kutcher, Kevin Costner. We'll talk to him about that after this.
You asked for it. Now you've got it. Less ads, more Adam. The Adam Carolla Show. He reviews the movies and cooks his legendary.
Chimichurri.
Oh, yeah. Oswaldo can't pronounce the word Adam right. Oh, Adam's name is something that he can't say.
Adam?
Oh, 16 years he's been butchering.
Hey, Ozzy.
Hi, good morning.
Got a sound. That's how he calls his wife when he comes to my house.
Hey, by the way, I was all prepared. I was going to ask Ozzy, you know, because he sees your kids maybe more than you do even, because he pretty much lives over at the Carolla estate.
Mm-hmm.
But I, yesterday watching football for the first time, got to meet Sonny and Natalia myself. They came over with Lynette.
Oh, first time you met them?
I'd never met them before.
Really?
And sure enough, Sonny looks like a butt plug. No.
It's a large job.
Yeah, he is cute.
It's funny how much bigger Sonny is than Natalia. Yes, he must be, I mean, in baby terms, like 2 or 3 pounds more. But in baby terms, that's a monstrous difference.
All I know is... The point is driven home. It was at least by Kimmel yesterday. When you hold Natalia, she feels like holding a little gymnast. You can hold her flat and she'll flatten out. I'll hold her by her back and hold her above my head like a waitress holds a tray of drinks. And she'll just flatten out, stiff as a board, light as a feather, or do my Heisman pose with her. I'll do that move where I do, whoa. point is you handle her for 10 minutes and then put her down. This is what happened to Kimmel yesterday. Hey, let's pick up the boy now. Holy Christ. It's like picking up a keg of flour. Really is. It's like, oh, you hear people groaning once they put Natalie down and go to pick up Sonny. It's like, hey, go say, hey, who wants to go for a ride? Oh, like, oh, goddamn help. Spot.
Now, was spot Lynette people. At football Sunday?
She was there briefly, and Sonny was very smiley and a nice little boy. And Natalia was sort of cool watching football the whole time. Really? She liked to watch football, and she had a schmata on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had the little rag on her head.
A little do-rag.
Yeah, she loves the ball. I think she may be lesbo. Anyway, Ozzy, I want to thank you and kick you in the nuts simultaneously for not only sending anniversary cards for me and my wife, but calling on our anniversary, which I neither got a present, card, or even made a phone call.
Because you had a good excuse. You forgot.
I forgot. Right. But Ozzy did not forget my anniversary. And each time a card arrived, and I think Ozzy gave me two cards, one from his wife and one from him, and then a group phone call, him and his wife on the phone wishing me and my wife a happy anniversary. It just pulled the scab right off this fresh wound that my wife had about me not getting her anything for the anniversary and made it worse. Your heart was in the right place, Ozzy, as it always is. But as usual, you did more damage than good.
Yep.
Okay. What movie are you going to review, Ozzy?
The Guardian.
The Guardian. Number 2 in the box office this week.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
The movie that I saw this weekend was The Guardian. Starring Kevin Costner as Ben Randall, mm-hmm. and Ashton Kutcher as Jack Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here is a short trailer in the Guardian.
When it's your job to save lives, you have to be ready for anything.
Who's this, your old man?
But now,
the boat is filling up.
Their greatest mission will be saving one of their own.
Mm. Number 2. Got to see that, yeah.
It's a film based on a legend officer in the United States Coast Guard.
Coast what?
War.
Coast War.
Coast War.
Coast Guard?
Guard.
Coast Guard.
Coast Guard, yeah.
Coast Guard, yes.
The officer is Ben Randall, who had a traumatic experience when he lost the crew in the fatal crash in the ocean.
He lost his crew in a fatal crash in the ocean.
The ocean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Officer Randall is transferred to teach in the school the elite training for Coast Guard rescue swimmer.
Coast Guard.
Yeah, Coast Guard. You know
Coast
the
Guard.
Coast Guard.
Right. Mm-hmm. The rescue swimmers.
Yeah, the guy, very, very good swimmer, you know, for rescue people.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible that his English is getting worse?
I thought he was doing good today.
Yeah, so far he did pretty good with Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
He's doing very well.
I try.
Listen, he's been up since 3 cooking.
That's right.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
He discovered Fisher play with Ashton Kutcher to continue the same war to rescue life in danger.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movie about character, talent, dedication, heroism, and sacrifice.
Heroism?
Heroism.
Okay, sorry.
And sacrifice.
Right.
I say, you know, these people, they need, you know, the proud to everybody, you know, for rescue people in very situation, you know, very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because war in the United States.
Yeah.
I say the Guardian left this reviewer cold.
Wow. I thought you were going. I thought you are enjoying it for a second.
Coswar.
All right. We need to take ourselves a little bit of a break. Running a little behind, trying to catch up. We will do a recap of Outbook August. For those of you who weren't listening on Friday and didn't hear how it came out, well, it was exciting. I must say this. We gave away the $10,000. We did it Friday about 9:45, 9:50, about the last thing we did on Friday. thought we'd catch some of you up who may not have been able to hear it live on Friday. So we'll talk to Tad about what he's doing with the money, and we'll play some excerpts from it after this.
Last Friday on the Adam Carolla Show, we declared a winner in Outbook August in September.
Our panel call of experts.
4830 Knoxville.
Say Stern or Knoxville. One movie.
Is it Stern or Knoxville?
I am so torn that I'm thinking about flipping a coin.
Oh, no. So either Big Tad or Mike August would be taking home 10 grand.
You know you don't deserve this, by the way.
Tad heads.
It's your job, man. It's your freaking job to do it.
Security. Tad, heads or tails?
Tails.
Tails.
Oh, tails.
Can you feel the tension in the room? Yeah.
We are going to declare winner. Wow. For $10,000, it is tails!
Big Tad wins the $10,000!
What does a guy like Big Tad do with $10,000? Let's find out on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, he buys three pies and brings them over to Kimmel.
That was for you, buddy.
And not the store-bought crap, either.
Really?
Marie Callender's.
Marie Callender's. $5.99 all through the month of October, everybody. He brought two banana cream. Nice choice in an apple. Can never go wrong. I had eaten before he brought the pie, so I was full, so I only had three pieces. Two banana creams and one apple. Delectable.
That was for you, buddy.
He also, Tad, had to buy several boxes of Kleenex to sop up all the tears he shed after his victory.
Hey, listen, it was $10,000. I never won that much money before.
Did you cry?
Hey, cry, man. I'll cry. I cried.
You cried like Steve Agee after sex. Well, a little inside.
The other topic from yesterday's football watching over at Kimmel's.
Yes, much debate about Teresa's ex-boyfriend, who Teresa claims used to sob after sex each time. Steve Agee, the ex-boyfriend, says, no chance. This is a complete fabrication. We are going to have a lie detector determine who's telling the truth.
I'll have sex with Teresa, and I'll see if I cry afterwards.
Offer her 10 grand,
that's a kind
Tad.
Offer. But back to you, Tad. So what are you going to do with
$10,000? And Big Tad, you picked tails. We tossed the coin. I flipped the coin. Now, again, I feel like I need to defend myself. I took a fair amount of crap over at Kimmel's yesterday. People were angry at me.
Really?
That I would dare think that Johnny Knoxville was a bigger star than Howard Stern. I said, look, that's not how it goes. I just thought it'd be better radio to flip the coin. I thought it'd be more exciting for the people that were listening. And after all, it's my money and it's my radio show. And I worry about the listeners, not about Big Tad or Mike August. So I flipped the coin. Now, Tad, you picked tails and it landed on tails. But the next time you look up to the heavens and curse your maker or think you've been snake bit or announce that you have horrible luck, I want you to always remember that day when there was a 50-50 chance on it landing on heads or tails and you won $10,000.
Well, I hate coin tosses and thank God it landed on tails for me. And,
I hate coin tosses.
I really hate them because I hardly ever win them.
Yeah, for Tad, it's coin tosses, Al-Qaeda, and cancer. Those are the big three. In order. Yep. In order. The things he hates the most. Tad buried his face into the corner, which he did from the middle of the room because his head is so big. No, he went to the corner. He buried his face in the corner. He could not watch when we flipped this thing. And I, frankly, was rooting for you, Tad, because if it would have landed on heads, you would have spun around like a huge goyim dreidel and destroyed everything in your path.
No, just one Mike August.
I mean, Tad, you would have flipped out. You were flipping out before I flipped the coin.
Yeah, pretty much. But I would have congratulated him.
Mm-hmm. You would not.
Yes,
no,
you
would have
been. No way.
You issued threats.
You were screaming at him before I flipped the coin. Should we hear that again?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Yeah. All right. So, Tad, now $10,000.
Yes.
You have to pay taxes on it, of course. Probably $3,000 or so of that going to the tax man, depending on your bracket. I'm going to guess you're in a lower bracket.
Yes.
What about Jimmy Kimmel? You owe him $2,500 from the DUI he bailed you out of some years ago.
Yes, sir. I owe Jimmy Kimmel $2,500. And then I owe my mom some money for helping me out back in the day while I was going through this DUI. And she really helped me out as much as I could.
What do you mean some money?
Well, I owe her like about $3,000.
Okay. Well,
because when I got my
DUI,
that too. But then when I was able to get a car, she paid for my car.
Mm-hmm.
And she let me borrow the money from that.
And
so
I remember
I'm giving her back that too.
Yeah, you said you had to borrow a few hundred dollars because the straw was broken in your ignition.
Really?
It's not a component to most cars.
So yeah.
He has to blow into his car. You know, you should just put a car, you should just put a sail on your car and then you could just blow yourself all the way to work.
If you owe $3,000 to your mom, $2,500 to Kimmel, and approximately $3,000 in taxes.
And he spent $400 on pies yesterday, so he's out of
pies,
money.
You probably have about $1,500. Profit from his $10,000.
But here's the deal. Here's my prediction. Your mother, Kimmel, will not accept the $2,500. Your mother will gladly accept the $3,000.
Yes.
And there may be some interest accrued as well. Kimmel will not accept the $2,500, but if you're smart, you'll offer him the $2,500, and then he'll decline it.
Yeah, I've already said I'm going to pay him.
Oh, privately? You should do it in front of a group.
Well, we could do it in here.
That's
too.
What I do when I owe Kimmel money. I get him in front of a large group of people. There'll usually be a situation where everyone's sitting around and drinking wine, and there's 14, 15 people celebrating someone's birthday. Jimmy will say, "Raise a glass. I want to wish a happy birthday." And then I'll say, "Excuse me, I don't want to cut you off, but Jimmy, I know I owe you $3,000. I'd like to pay you back in the parking lot right now if you don't mind." And then, of course, all eyes turn to him, and he'll have to wave it off. That's what you want to do. When you offer to pay people back, do it in a public environment. Do it when they're a little drunk and feeling flush. They'll never accept it.
Well,
Kimmel wouldn't accept it anyway.
Jimmy, I owe you $2,500, so I will get it to you.
Well, can I ask, how do you ask Jimmy Kimmel to borrow the money? Is he your one call from jail, or what happened?
I went up to him and I just said, "Listen, I got a DUI and I can't afford an attorney and I need to get an attorney."
At the time you were working with him?
Yeah, I was working at Jimmy Kimmel Live and, you know, he's my mentor and everything. And, he's the guy that brought me into this crazy world of radio. And I just asked because I knew he was rich, too. So
Big Ted, where were you working when you got your other DUI?
I was working at Jimmy Kimmel Live.
For both of them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But the second one you didn't borrow money for?
No, because I knew I was screwed, so.
Right.
I just,
went to Cousin Sal?
Yeah.
Now, Ted,
sorry to interrupt you, but I've been so broke that I just didn't eat rather than ask to borrow money from somebody because I would find it so hard to ask somebody to borrow money.
Listen, I
clearly, Tad's done that himself, as you can tell by looking at him.
Fat, but not proud. That's Tad's people.
Really?
Well, look, sometimes you have to ask for help.
Well, I after my second DUI, I lost my job at Jimmy Kimmel Live, and I couldn't really do anything else, and I really had to file for bankruptcy, so I filed for bankruptcy, and all my stuff got cleared. And
file from bankruptcy when you're living at your mom's house? Are you scared they're going to confiscate your mom's sofa? What kind of nut do you have when you're living at home? I want to know. I didn't know it was physically or mathematically possible to file for bankruptcy while living. I understood you could file and then move home, but doing it from your mom's living room, that's huevos, my friend.
Well, I mean, you know, I was trying to do everything on my own, and I didn't really want to go to my mom and my parents to ask for the money and everything, but, you know, I had to file for bankruptcy because I just couldn't afford anything anymore. I had like two major credit card bills. I had my car payment. I had insurance.
What kind of credit card debt were you into?
Oh, like probably like $3,000 or $4,000 on each.
Wow.
You know, because I was living large.
Right.
When, working at Jimmy Kimmel Live, and
sure,
I could buy the best things in life, but
sure,
on a PA salary.
So you pay Kimmel back, although you don't pay Kimmel back. You make the proclamation you're going to pay Kimmel back, and he tells you, "Don't worry about it." He'll wave it off.
If he says, "Don't worry about it," he's God.
I think we're assuming a great deal that Kimmel is going to wave it off. It's not necessarily a given. Now,
I got an idea. I've been a pretty good friend to Kimmel over the years. It would be nice if Kimmel said, "No, do not pay me back the $2,500, but go ahead and make that check out to the Ace Man. That way, I could recoup some of my $10,000 loss." I'll talk to Kimmel about that. Yes.
I was just wondering, Tad, whatever you do have left over, where will it go? Tattoos? $1,500 worth of tattoos? What?
I'm actually getting a new tattoo.
Oh, really?
Sweetie.
Of what? Howard Stern.
Get a top hat or something. Well, start
Carolla
looking classy.
On my left arm. I'm covering up this Punisher tattoo that I got right here. I'm getting a full sleeve right here.
Who the hell did that thing? That thing looks like a prison tat. Looks like it was done with piano wire.
Hey, when I was in a joint for DUI, man, that's what we did.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
No, who did that? It's a horrible tattoo.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I got it like about 3-4 years ago, and I had some of it lasered off.
What is it? A skull?
It's the Punisher logo.
Who is the Punisher?
A wrestler?
No, the Punisher is the comic book.
The comic book.
Yeah, the Punisher.
Should have tattooed that on your penis, because that's really the one you punish.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
You hurt the one you love the most.
Tad's best tattoo, by the way, is his one of the flaming dice and cards that he has on his left forearm, even though he does not play cards or dice.
Well, how dare you, sir?
Keeps getting better with time.
I play poker, I play blackjack, I play craps.
So you're gonna spend
the money. I don't win, but I play.
You're going to spend the money on a tattoo.
Not all of it.
Anything else?
Well, I don't know how much I'll have left, but I don't know. I like to go away on vacation, but that's probably not going to happen. But I am putting a lot of it away in my savings account because something might. I don't know if anything's going to happen, but if something might happen, I'll have it for a rainy day.
A rainy day. When you get your third DUI.
No, that's not going to happen, sir.
Well, here's the thing, and it's a good point that you said save it up, because I think we screw poor people whenever they get any kind of money whatsoever, whether somebody dies and they inherit 25 grand or they just win a lottery ticket. Everyone jumps around and goes, what are you going to do with the money? What are you going to do with the money? What are you going to buy? What are you going to get? Bad message to send. They don't do that with rich people. When a rich guy gets a stock dividend and he makes 100 grand, nobody jumps around and goes, what are you going to buy with 100 grand? They just assume he's going to put it into T-bills or money markets or something like that, do something responsible. It's weird and degrading and quasi-insulting. We don't know. But when a poor guy gets $5, what are you going to do with that money? Everyone wants to know. Well, maybe he's going to set it aside. Maybe he's going to put it away.
I know Tad's been doing a lot of research on a good conservative mutual fund, right?
Sure. Okay.
All right, Tad. Mazel tov to you.
Thank you again, Adam.
My pleasure. And I'll be interested in finding out. Well, now that we've talked about Kimmel and the 2500, he can't take it.
But
now that I said that, he can. Ooh. You listening, Kimmel? We've talked about it, so you can't take it. But I said you can't take it. So now maybe I've issued a challenge.
It's out there.
All right.
It's out there for him if he wants it.
Well,
because he was
my
a great
prediction
friend.
Is he has until Wednesday of this week to collect that $2,500. Otherwise, he ain't going to see it.
Well, that's when I can actually grab the money because I cast a check on Friday and they put the check on hold for until the 3rd.
Tad, yeah. You know you have to save at least $3,000 of that to pay the taxes.
I'm there. Mm-hmm. I got you.
I'm there.
All right. We need to take a break. When we come back, Teresa was talking about some items in the news. Lots of love letters and people getting popped. I shouldn't call them love letters, but amorous emails and other things like that. Things of a sexual nature. I've been thinking about this for a while. I've been thinking about how a woman knows a guy's interested in them and vice versa. Little tips, little tells that women give. You know, guys spend a lot of time trying to figure out what the tell is for the guy who's sitting across the poker table from them. Oh, if he scratches his ear, that means he's bluffing, what have you. They don't spend a lot of time trying to read women. Women will make it abundantly clear if you just put your antenna up and pick up the signals. I will, and Teresa, I'm going to need your help on this. Dave has his feelings as well, although we'll not hear them. Teresa, no, Dave has a surefire way, but I have some surefire ways, too, to let you know, guys, if a woman is interested, if you're at a party, if you're at a bar, how to go home with them. Women, I want you to call in 866-901-ADAM. Tell us how you let the guys know. I feel I want to let guys have a little peek behind the curtain, and then my fabulous men are like dogs, women are like cats analogy, which you're going to have to, if you're driving, you're going to have to pull over for, because this is important and powerful information. We'll do that after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Adam wants to hear from the ladies. How do you let a guy know you're interested, and what can a guy do to get you in the sack? Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, you don't have to get him in the sack. Bang him in the car.
Oh, that's so romantic.
I was just thinking about it. And I'm also going to give my cat and dog thing, which I haven't done either on this show or in a long while. If I have, again, you'll be needing to pull over and take some notes. First off, it struck me that guys spend a lot of time studying things, you know, playing poker, for instance. The guy who sits there and studies the guy across the table for all looking for the tells, studying the guy, that same guy cannot get laid. He goes to a party and wouldn't know if a chick was interested if she stripped naked and dove onto his head with her vagina leading the way. He would not know it. It's funny how guys can study. Same guy who studies, for instance, you play the fairy tale football or the rotisserie baseball. You just study trends. You just study things. You study tells. But yet, same guy wouldn't know it if a chick liked him. I decided to let you guys in on how chicks do it because women will be very clear about it. Not, they won't speak in a language that you understand, but they will be crystal clear, at least in their mind, when they're interested. One of the things I've learned is if a woman doesn't like you, she will not want to make any contact with you in any way, shape, or form. If you're coming down the hallway and it's a little bit crowded and you have to thread the needle, she will press herself into the wall so hard it will leave an indentation on the plaster when you walk by,
yeah,
as opposed to brushing up or whatever. If you have, and then there's certain situations where you have to hug a woman. It's someone's last day at work, it's someone's birthday, and they're hugging everyone at the office, and then they come across you. If it feels like someone just took an ironing board and leaned it against you, she's not interested. If she hugs and then drags, the hand drag, that's the key. That's the tell, everyone, the hand drag. She'll put her arm around you or your hug, and as you're breaking, the hand will drag across your back or your shoulder. They're looking for just a little extra contact. Teresa?
That's absolutely true.
The hand drag.
The hand drag. And also, if I'm making a point and I emphasize it by touching you on the forearm.
Yes. A lot of touching. You tell a joke, she laughs, and when she laughs, she touches you. She put her hand on your shoulder and then drag it down your upper arm a little on the way back. Even with a handshake, there can be a little drag left behind. You'll notice it because when you shake a guy's hand, it's just like, you know, a lot of guys do a thing, just good firm grip and then break. Clean break, not the drag. So any kind of extra touching or dragging or lingering with the hand touch.
Yeah, even playfully, like sometimes you'll be talking to somebody, you kind of punch him in the shoulder.
Any contact, because the and here's how you can figure out what the tips are. The opposite is if she's repulsed by you, there will be no touching whatsoever.
Yes, your hallway metaphor was apt. Like when you see the running of the bulls in Pamplona and everyone's clinging to the walls,
right.
That's what a woman will do if you're coming down the hall.
Right, when you see Brusca coming down the hall between Angie and intern Lindsay, that's what it looks like. They're practically wearing red scarves and white outfits. It's just pressed up. I'll see Angie jump up on the table. I've seen Lindsay actually punch a hole in the drywall and try to climb into the next row. That's what it looks like. All right, so it's the touch. The other one is if you meet a girl, let's just say you're at a party and you're talking, the initial conversation is easy. There's always a thing, and every woman or male will engage in the initial conversation just out of common courtesy. Who do you know at the party? Or how do you know Chuck? Oh, I work with him. Oh, we went to high school together. Then there's that point where you're done with that part. What are you doing here? Nice to meet you. If they can make it past the pause into the next stage of the conversation, they're in. That's another interesting. So you'd be like, hey, how do you know Chuck?
I used to work with him.
Yeah, we go way. We were in the same frat house at SC.
Oh, cool.
So you need a drink?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, if you make it past the pause, she's hanging out. She'll do the thing and then get out of there. She's not going to engage in the second part. Or you can ask the second part, like, but if she's not interested, it's not going to happen. You need a drink?
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Right, so that's done. So if they make it past the pause, anytime that pregnant pause there and you get to the second stage, you're in pretty good shape. The other thing is if they're not interested, they will always weave in little things that let you know to get away from them. Oh, my boyfriend loves paintball, too. You know, they'll work. Whatever you bring in, they'll weave in the boyfriend, they'll weave in the I'm leaving town, I'm traveling all the time, I'm swamped at work. They'll start weaving in. If they start feeling like you're going to ask them out, they'll head you off at the pass.
Yes, preemptive boyfriend drop.
Right.
But by the way, as a general rule, I've said this many times to women, if you're going to reject men, why not just always say you have a boyfriend. Thank you. You know what? I'm seeing somebody. And then you will buy it no matter what as ego spare.
But there are times when you're at a party where you have mutual friends and they know you're single and they'll screw you up or rat you out. Plus, women don't lie as well as guys do. They don't have that poker face.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Now, the other one they'll do is, if they're interested, is they will be interested in anything that you bring up. So you say, hey, Teresa, God, I'm thinking about taking the mountain bike out this weekend.
Really? What kind of mountain bike is that?
I got a Schwinn.
A Schwinn? Mm. So where do you go usually?
Just go up the mountains here. Just go up to up the trail up there in Laurel Canyon. You ever go mountain bike riding?
You know, I've always wanted to.
Right. Always wanted to do whatever it is you're doing. You bring up a movie, it's a pretty easy way to do. Like, a real simple way to do it is you go, geez, I'm looking forward to the new Leonardo DiCaprio movie coming.
Me too.
Oh, you haven't seen?
No.
I was thinking of going this weekend.
So was I.
See, that's all. Now, if they're not, they'll shut that down almost immediately. As a matter of fact, all you have to do when you go to a party is bring up the movie that's coming out the following weekend. Just bring that movie up. If she says she wants to see that movie, then you're in. If she says, not a big fan of the action genre or whatever it is, not in. It's as simple as that. Teresa, is there a scenario that you could think of where there's a guy you're really attracted to who came up to you when you were single at a party and said, brought up a movie that was coming out in 5 days or the next day or whatever, and you said you didn't want to see it?
That's gold. Even if I didn't want to see it, if I liked the guy, I would suddenly want to see The Guardian.
Right.
Whatever right. crap.
Right. All right. Let's talk to Mandy here. Mandy?
Hi, Adam.
What's up?
How's you?
Good.
Well, I sort of disagree because I think if a woman's not initially interested, with a little persistence, a guy could make her interested. Because we're fluid that way.
Yeah.
Right.
Open to persuasion.
Well, how do you make them interested if they're not initially interested?
Well, each guy has his own style. I don't know. I've been uninterested initially and then made interested different ways.
Yeah.
Humor's good.
Right. Yeah. But that's if you work with the guy or you see him on a semi-regular basis. You can do it at a party.
Not my last boyfriend.
What happened?
I was not interested in him for the first month, and he kept calling, and we kept going out. And mostly I went out for the meal.
I know, but he got your phone number, and you were going out with him.
Yeah, he got my email. And so he sent me emails.
Right, but at the party, you must have given him the email. How did he get your email?
No, I gave it to him.
Just tell you didn't want to be rude.
I was sort of interested, but not terribly.
All right, but look, you're not really making your point because you're interested enough to give the guy your email when he met you at the party.
Yeah, but sort of as a brush off. I mean, half of it was a brush. Yeah, here, send me an email, big deal.
And then you went out with him for the free food?
A couple of times, and then I got interested in him. So maybe subconsciously I was interested and I didn't know.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
All right.
But
well, I like her style. She went out just for the free grub.
Well, Manny makes a good point. I think we can be won over.
That's right. And let me tell you how it's done. It's I'll reveal this to you. I'll reveal. Listen, open to persuasion. Listen, it's foolproof for it's been foolproof in Damashek's life. Let me pass it on now. Now that I'm hitched, I may as well reveal.
Right.
You tell the woman what the score is. That's it. Women don't like to hear that they were being told. But what they ultimately like is, and they will repeat this over and over and over again, is that they don't like a wishy-washy guy. A guy who's like, whatever you want to do. They ultimately don't like that. They like the guy to take charge. You always hear that in a relationship. They like the guy to take charge. Start early. You tell them what the score is. You tell them, here's what we're going to do. You and me are going out. And they say, oh, I don't think so. No, yeah, you can play that game, but you and me are going out, baby doll. They like it. They swoon. It always works. I'm telling you.
No, it does.
Well, it always works. And let me tell you another. Here's a little cute one that somewhere between the 5-minute mark to 2-hour mark always works. You say to the woman, listen, I dig that you're into me, and I think that's cool, but try to play it a little cooler. You know, maintain your dignity. Then they laugh, and they go, they laugh like, ha-ha, he's getting around, but you know what? He's right.
Yeah.
I am into him.
Well, what women...
This always works.
Women, and I've learned this the hard way, women don't want to be asked, where do you want to eat when you pick them up on the date? They want you to say, I know this place, you're going to love it. And they'll go, well, I don't normally even like Mexican food. Well, you're going to like this Mexican food.
Exactly,
and just go,
right.
Now, there's a limit to it, but they love that. What women don't want is... the equivalent. Can we not play the super annoying music, by the way? Jesus F. Why do we have to hear this? Hey, Brian, you ever heard me talk about techno music before?
No, never.
It's Justin Timberlake.
It sucks. Play something else. It's
why don't
classical
you not
music.
Bring sexy back?
Yes. It's giving me a headache.
Bring
there
aspirin
we go.
Back.
By the way, I just want to say for the record, I am not encouraging anyone to say, well, the woman is saying she's not interested in having sex, and you say, oh, yes, you are, and force yourself. But I'm saying to woo the woman initially.
I got
to
agree with you, Dave. I like that. And I once had a guy tell me the exact same thing and then say that he was going to be the best I ever had.
You swoon. Wow. The women swoon for this.
They do. Look.
Confidence.
Well, here's what it is. Women are 90% of them are followers and they're not leaders and they want to be led. And I know that sounds sexist, but that's the way it goes. Hey, 85% of men are followers. When you're just trekking through the forest, you want a guy to say, we're heading due south. That's the direction. We'll find some water and some shelter there. You don't want the guy to turn around and go, I don't know, which way do you guys want to go? You want to go north? I don't know. That makes people very nervous. Even if you're heading the wrong direction, at least have the guy say it with authority and do it. That's what most people want, especially women want. They want that voice of authority. And it's bold. But it is shrewd,
it is a bold
and it will
stroke.
Work.
But here's the trick, though, Ace. As you said, the first 5 minutes, that's where a lot of fellas will stumble. You can't play the card that I just suggested right out of the gate. You don't walk up to a woman and say, hey, I don't know who you are, but baby doll, you and me are going to happen. That's creepy. It's
right.
That first 5 minutes of conversation. And all the masters will tell you the same thing, no matter who they are. You say, how do you get so many women? It's a numbers game. You take 20 shots. The first 19 might miss. The 20th will hit. Just got to play the numbers.
Adriana?
Hi.
You want to weigh in on this topic?
Yeah, there was like a couple things. Usually women, they like to be approached, but they don't like to be approached at the same time. It's like, if a guy says, hey, I think you're pretty, then they're like, oh, he's a creep. You don't know who I am. I might be crazy. I mean, if you compliment, like, little things about a girl, like, I really like the way your hair is. Just something that's kind of
yes.
out
all right.
there.
Good. Shoes. That's a good angle
never
to go.
Fails.
Shoes. Because they pick them out, and it's saying you have nice taste. And for women, shoes is sort of the... It's sort of the universal yardstick that you measure whether someone has good taste or poor taste with. So compliment their shoes and their feet. You're not staring at their boobs that way. And it's a way to compliment them without being creepy. And they'll usually think that you have some sort of insight, too, because somehow you're interested. And it's important to pretend you're interested in stuff you're not interested in when you first. Just don't let them know the real you.
Give
that's
him a little, though,
saying.
But I will suggest, though, sprinkle in for every two compliments, which I do advise. Also, bat him around a little bit, you know, confuse him a little bit, not physically, but but give him one little stinger in there. And they will, you know, like, you know, I think you could lose the hat. But, you know, then, whoa, he's insulting me. Oh, what cockiness to say that to me.
Teresa, you like a little challenge, right?
A little bit, but the compliments are good.
Right. It's a weird... It's a nice mixture. It's like the best desserts have a little bit of salt in them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tiny bit.
Yeah.
Yes, you don't want someone to completely fillet you. You don't want somebody to come up to you and just compliment. You want a little dig, like, what?
Well, I won't fillet a woman unless I think I'm going to get some in return.
That's fair.
That's the way I roll. And I always use a dental dam.
Well, I will say this, that... when I was working on my smash hit show, How to Get the Guy, canceled after 4 episodes, I did all this research and I found a study that said that the number one pickup line for a man to use on a woman that works the most is hello.
That's right.
The whole point is, it doesn't matter what you say.
Hello, my name is so-and-so.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and people put a lot of stock in the pickup lines, but if you see the way the guy carries himself, his posture, the way he's dressed, the way he looks, the look in his eye, if you're single and interested, you're not going to send him packing because he said something dumb at the beginning.
Yeah. You know what's a great opening line, too, is to follow on the heels of someone who was just talking to the woman. go up to him and make fun of that guy. That's a nice move, too. Yes. I just saw you talking to that guy.
Yeah.
You look like a square, huh? How'd you get rid of him? Well, now you're talking.
My brother lives in Connecticut. I only effed him twice.
Yeah. Well, then
he's
you
got
walk
a fatal
away.
Illness.
Yeah, the other thing is do not talk yourself out of getting laid. A lot of guys get in there and they're chatty Cathy's. Their gums are flapping. They're a little bit nervous. Women, if you don't say too much and you just pick and choose your words carefully, will attribute all sorts of things to you that you don't have. There's a lot of guys out there that I'm convinced are fairly stupid, but they're smart. They don't, like, Keanu Reeves is probably as dumb as a doorknob, but he's smart. The only one thing he's smart about is he doesn't talk very much. He just sits there and looks hot, and then once in a while you see him pouting or complaining about something, and he's in. That's a good thing. Don't talk too much, fellas. You will talk your way right out of it. As a matter of fact, think about all the guys you went to high school with who got laid, or all the guys who you went to college with who did great with ladies. Not auctioneers.
No. Nope.
Not big talkers. The guys who talked more, there's probably some sort of scale you could do between amount of words spoken on a given evening and amount of phone numbers collected.
Sure. It could take you like 8 months to figure out a guy you're dating is not smart.
Right. Shannon?
Hey, I was just going to make a comment about what you were saying about women being followers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that may or may not be true. I don't really know. But I know for myself, I tend to have a leadership position in my job, in my life. And when I go out, it's nice to have somebody else take charge for change and to feel like, you know, if I'm going to end up with this guy, I'm not going to have to be the boss 24/7 for the rest of my life.
And yes.
Yes, you want security. Thank you, Shannon.
Uh-huh.
I will now segue into once you do actually get the person naked that you met at the party, if you picked up the signs, you didn't talk too much, and you took a little charge. Uh-oh.
What?
My buddy's calling.
Who?
Buddy Chris. Chris?
Yay.
What do you got to say about this?
What's happened? I just got to say, I think it's mostly chemical. I think you go into a party.
That's right.
And
get them high with some chemicals and nail them. That's what Chris would do in high school.
Now, I say you let them know that you're interested pretty strongly, and then you got to back off. You got to leave them alone.
Yeah, but that's easy for you because you're super good looking, and chicks always went nuts for you physically. When they don't go nuts for you physically and you back off and leave them alone, they look at it as bullet dodged, and then leave the party with you.
He's right, though. It is chemical. Sometimes you'll think a guy's not that cute, and then you'll get a whiff of his scent, and you'll think he's hot.
Yeah,
listen,
it's like the wilderness. I think it's like any other animal. I really think that there's a chemical attraction that happens.
Let me tell you something about my buddy Chris. When he was living in an apartment, and Chris shouldn't have called up if you didn't want me to get into this.
Uh-oh.
When he was living in an apartment in the 10th or 11th grade, I think it was probably the 10th grade, he was having sex with an older mother in her 30s who lived upstairs, her daughter.
What?
And her sister.
Hold on, what is Chris?
Stop me if I'm lying, Chris.
Marvelous.
No, you're not lying.
All right, and that's just the beginning.
What does Chris look like if you had to describe him?
Tan, tall, and muscular, and women go insane for him. And he is always the example I used when women say, oh, they're coy, or women are shy, or women won't present themselves. They won't for me. They won't for Brian. They won't for Damashek. They will for Chris. If the right guy comes in a room, they will present. That's what they would do. He would come into the room. They would present. And as I said, 10th grade, Damashek, I don't know what the hell you were doing. You were boffing that Terry Bradshaw's football helmet.
I was working on my Dorothy Hamill haircut.
Playing a lot of Boggle with Mo on a Saturday night.
6 foot tall and 119 pounds.
Teenage daughter's mother, and teenage daughter's mother's sister.
Ugh.
That's right. That was in the 10th grade.
I have the greatest admiration.
That was not even trying. Let me say this. We need to take a break. I want to quickly, before we take this break, explain what happens when you get the person home and how they need to be treated, because I feel like guys, and this is the problem with every part of life, guys think that women have the same brain they do, thus they want to apply the same pressure to a woman sexually that they would want applied to themselves. They figure if this feels good to me, then it's going to feel good for them. I love a nice, vigorous lovemaking session, thus the woman would love it. You do this with everything. You can't help it. if you love fried chicken, you just assume everyone loves fried chicken. If you love red wine, you assume everyone loves it. And you can't even fathom, you can't fathom it when people don't. But people are very different. The sexes are very different sexually. And as a male, you must approach a woman and get into her mindset. You must approach her like she wants to be approached. Hey, you know, we're running late for break. I think we'll take one. And then when we come back, I'll do the cat and dog analogy. It is one of my more solid analogies, I must say. And explain exactly how you approach a woman to the guys and vice versa. Take a quick break. We'll do that. Then we'll also do a little recap on last week's Think Tank. And Jeremy McGrath is coming in. The king of motocross is coming in as well. All that on the Adam Carolla Show.
More of the Adam Carolla Show coming up.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Hey, Ren, I'm listening to Adam Carolla and I'm learning everything about comedy.
Will you shut up, you fat, bloated pig?
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Last Friday, following the Adam Carolla Show, Adam joined the Free FM Think Tank, a show featuring the rest of our Los Angeles talent, including Tom Lykus.
You have kids, Adam, right?
Yes, twins.
Twins. Does that affect your view of the world or the kinds of stuff you do on the air?
Well, first off, I thought if I had a little girl, it would affect negatively or impact my masturbation so far. Turns out she hasn't put a dent in it. I thought, if anything, I've stepped it up a notch. Maybe I'm overcompensating.
Let's get back to it. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
We'll have a little more of the Think Tank clips for you in a couple of few, but first, a little unfinished business. Yes, women like cats, guys like dogs. Sexually, again, people make the mistake in all facets of life, but especially in the bedroom, thank you, of treating their partner the same way they would want to be treated. It makes sense. This feels good to me. Then it must be universal. Women, very different. And if you think cat and dog different, that'll help guys, because all the same rules apply to a cat as do to the woman physically. I know there's, it seems like there's a joke in there, and there probably is, but I'll stay away from it, which is a dog. I got a dog, even though my dog's a female, my dog likes it rough. Rough trade, I like to call it. Rough, as in the bars and the barking, rough. No, I like, you know, grab the dog, roll the dog over, start slapping the dog in the belly. The dog starts growling, then the dog grabs the rope toy and starts chewing and pulling and gnawing. And when the dog gets petted, you don't just lightly stroke it. You give it a good working over, and the dog is in seventh heaven. That's how guys are. We want pressure. We want speed. We want to go at it. That's
Jackhammer
how,
style.
Right. Now, cats, totally different. This is why cats hate kids. This is why if you have a cat and a five-year-old nephew that comes to the house, the cat will spend the entire visit on top of the refrigerator, well away from the five-year-old who's going to go at the cat, because that's what kids do. They go at cats like dogs. They go at them. The dog loves it. You're pulling the ears, grabbing the snout, slapping the belly. Cats do not go for that. First off, they're spooked if you come at them too fast. Same way with women in the bedroom. Don't come running at them, throwing your arms up over your head and screaming. You will freak their ass right out. You got to move nice and slow. I've tried to. Like a banshee.
Nude.
Nude. You know, maybe the war paint was too much. Putting the circles around the nipples and the zebra stripe down the Johnson. But that's the way I rolled back in the 70s. You will freak a woman out. What is a cat like? Well, a cat likes you to enter the house, establish a little eye contact, and then walk over to the sofa and sit down. Don't even come at the cat. If you do, you can stand there, but just go to the sofa and sit around. Now, what will the cat do? Cat will take its sweet time, but eventually, a little curious. What's with the new blood in the house? Why aren't they coming after me going, wah? I'll go check it out myself. So what's the cat do? The cat walks over to you. Cat notices, you notice the cat, but no big movements, no fast movements. Can't go stand up too quick. The cat, you will freak the cat out. Do not spook the cat. Just sit there. And eventually what happens? Well, cat starts rubbing up against your shin a little, applying its own pressure. Now, this is interesting. What the cat will let you know what feels good to the cat by doing it itself. It makes its own pressure. You just sort of supply the substrate, and the cat will push against it. And eventually, you get your hand down there. But again, nice and even. Don't go against the grain. don't start mixing it up. No herky-jerky. Just nice, even, consistent, rhythmic. That's what a cat loves. It loves the rhythm. And eventually, if you do it in the cat, you know, then the cat gets to know you, gets to know your DC, put the cat up on the lap, and what is it again? Rhythm. Rhythm. Then you find that spot. Sometimes it's on the cheek. Sometimes it's right where the tail meets the ass on top there. Cat will apply a little pressure. The cat applies a little pressure. You apply a little back pressure. Don't start going the wrong direction. Don't move to another spot. Just simple, rhythmic, repetitive motions. Yes, T?
This is brilliant. Everyone should be taking notes.
I've got a boner.
So, when you approach a woman in the bedroom, just think cat. What would make a cat jump off of this bed and run away?
Right.
That is the same thing you have to think with a woman. Do not get the cat to jump off the bed and run away.
I hope every guy took note of that, because sure, occasionally everything's fine and good, and then someone just lurches for you.
Yes.
Either that, or they too soon, they go to places they shouldn't go.
That's right. And the same with a cat. The cat, if the cat is rubbing up against your shin and you're petting a little and you grab it and pull it onto your lap, the cat will get spooked and take off. It's too soon.
Yes.
All in due time, my pretty. All right. Now, topic number two for this is the think tank. This is where we get all the jocks out here from Los Angeles together. Conway and Whitman and Lycus presides over the whole thing. We have Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. A lot of the same cities we're in, they're in too. That's why we'll play this. But some folks didn't get a chance to hear it. I was there on Friday, and here's some snippets from that. Please enjoy.
I wanted to ask you guys all the same question. What would you all be doing at this point in your life, if you weren't doing this?
I would probably be swinging a hammer. I think I'd probably still be a carpenter.
You think you would have enjoyed that if you just kept doing
it? No.
No?
No, no, I wouldn't have enjoyed it, but I probably would still be doing it. It was my trade, and I probably would have just kept doing it. I wouldn't have had any choice.
Was it you that was telling the story about when you were a carpenter, you set up a guy's whole closet, took an entire day to set up a closet?
Yeah. I used to install closets for a place called Always Better Closets out in Burbank. If you're listening, kiss my ass. I used to work with three born-again gangbangers, you know, guys with teardrop tats, but yes. Bibles asking for traveling mercy when we took off in a cube van and breaking into tongues every time we ate goddamn lunch. But one time I was asked to go out solo and install a closet. We'd manufacture it in the facility and then go out and install a custom closet. I was living on, I believe, Otsego Street, and this was Hartsook Street that the address was supposed to be delivered to. And when my boss handed me the invoice, I said, oh, no problem, I live on that street. Well, I used to live on Hartsook, but I'd moved to Otsego and somehow got it confused on the way over. Went to the exact same address one street over. Open the door, and I've always had this theory that if you have tool bags on in a tool chest, you could walk right into the White House or Fort Knox. They just get out of your way. A Mexican maid answered the door because it was the middle of the day, and I guess the couple was working. And I said, listen, Delia, out of the way, I got to install this closet. She was holding a newborn, and she moved out of the way. She figured her, you know, the couple had contracted me, and she didn't know about it. I walked into the bedroom. I opened the closet door, the master bedroom, and I said, oh, Christ, we tell people to clean out their closets every single time. They never listen. So I started taking everything out of the closet and piling it onto the bed. I was angry. I piled it. Then I gutted the closet, pulled all the shelf and pole, pulled the nails out, went back to the van, installed a new custom closet, and then presented the invoice to Delia, the Mexican maid. Now, the thing that was funny is normally we just drop off the invoice and go back to the shop, but in this case, my boss said, you must get paid this particular time. So I said, here's the invoice, where's the check? She didn't speak a lick of English, and we argued back and forth for a while, and eventually she picked up a piece of mail and showed me that the address was correct, but the street was one street over.
Oh, my God.
I got a crazed look in my face. She headed for the phone. I don't know who she called. She had the newborn with her. I ran back to the van,
got the Makita cordless out, put it in reverse, and backed out every single screw, dragged out everything, left everything where it was, including the existing closet, the dumpster, and headed over to the new house. I have no idea how Delia described that to what must have been the surprised owners when they came home from work that day. If it got lost in translation, I don't know how it worked. But, yes, I installed a closet in the wrong house.
And that's what you'd be doing if you were doing that.
That's right.
Yes, going to the wrong house is installing closets. And, yeah, I don't know how she ever explained what the hell went on that afternoon.
I mean, a guy comes home and he has a new closet and he doesn't know why?
No, he has no closet and he doesn't know why.
And it's in the dumpster.
Well, I took out the, you know, there's not much to a closet, shelf and pole. There's just a shelf and then the pole and then there's the cleats, the ledger that goes along the wall that holds it up. I ripped all that out. But all the clothes were thrown on top of the bed and in an angry fashion, too.
I think the maid got in trouble.
I'm going to go with that. Either way, I escaped scot-free, so... What is the what's the moral of the story? Yeah. Let the Mexican maid take the fall every time. The more you know.
I've learned a lot. First the cat and dog thing, and now that.
Yeah, I think we have a couple more short jokes from the think tank as well. This is me on porn. Huh. Yes?
I hope so.
All right.
Or not.
Now, are you guys into porn? Seriously. Are you all into porn?
Yeah.
Anyone object to porn?
My friends always thought this was weird because if I ever got hold of a new porn, I would have to scroll through the entire porn, a movie, a DVD, whatever it was. I had to see the whole thing and then go back to the part I liked best instead of just doing it incrementally. And he'd always say, well, why are you watching a whole movie and then going back? And I'd say, I don't want to waste, because when I masturbate, I always approach it as if it's my last session. You know what I mean? And I think that's what makes me such a great broadcaster. I approach the morning show like this could be your last morning show. Every time I masturbate, it is the last one.
Yeah. I that's the kind of gusto. It's the way I live my life.
Well, you know, you remind me of something. Your friend Chris called in the last break. Mm-hmm. And now you, if I'm not mistaken, you, Chris, and Donnie, and another guy, four of you lived together in the same little cruddy hole at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And you only had one TV and one VCR.
Mm-hmm.
And you used to, the four of you, would watch porn in the room at the same time, and all go in, and you would lower the lights, and all... go off into different corners of the room. Is this true?
Not true. Same futon. We didn't go into different corners.
You guys would watch porn together.
There was there's some truth to that story. It was sort of a it's North Hollywood's version of chicken. A lot of guys do it with cars. We do it with porn. You know what I mean? Who's going to back off first? Not me.
So, but I mean, but there would be times when multiple fellas.
It's possible.
Meat slapping, who knows where it's coming from.
But you'd always do it like this could be your last time.
That kind of gusto, yeah, that's the way I would appreciate
Carpe
it.
Carpe diem.
That would I would approach it that way. But let me ask this. If you watch porn, do you have to watch the whole porn? This is an interesting topic. There are a lot of guys who just say, if they rented a porn movie or got a new porn movie, they'd turn it on and start slapping their meat and that would be that. They wouldn't have to watch the entire thing to make sure there was something they weren't missing. I always feel like there's someone I went to high school with that's waiting at the end of the porn that I have to make sure isn't there before I then go back and watch the rest of it. Check, how say you?
I like that. No, I like the idea that you don't want to miss out on something extra special. Yeah, the redhead's all right, but...
That's right. Again.
That blonde who walked through at the start of the picture, I want to see what she's all about.
Right. Do it like it's your last one. All right, I think we have...
Seize the Wang.
Well, talking about that, we have Dad's Wang here. Yeah.
I realize that every guy, every male and female for that matter I've ever spoken to thinks his dad has a huge Johnson and then wonders why they got such a horrible hand dealt to themselves. And I realize the reason every kid thinks their dad has a huge dork is because they saw it once and they saw it when it was at the bridge of their nose. They were talking into it like a ring announcer at that point. It was just dropped down from the ceiling. Guy hit the bell a few times.
Yeah, that is short but sweet.
And you are tickling Heidi's funny bone.
Yeah, didn't know she had one up until now. We have one more to play. Again, I will do this with my children. I have to wait until they get a little bit older because they're not going to retain it. One more. I think this is, speaking of the kids, this is talking to the kids.
You have kids, Adam, right?
Yes, twins.
Twins?
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that affect your view of the world?
Well, first off, I thought if I had a little girl, which I do have, it would affect negatively or impact my masturbation so far. Turns out she hasn't put a dent in it. I thought, well, there's no, because now this porn you look at, you're going to think of as someone's daughters instead of some coked up whore. But as it turns out, little, if anything, I've stepped it up a notch. Maybe I'm overcompensating. Maybe I'll level off when she gets into the 10th grade, but so far I'm at a fever pace. It is true. I'll tell you, for me, to be honest and not sound like a sappy parent, but I now, after having my twins and they're only 4 months old, think about people who have lost children when they were just 6 months old or 8 months old or not even a year old. Before, when I used to hear those stories, I'd think, well, that's sad, but he barely got to know the kid. But I got to say, if something happened to one of my kids, it would ruin a weekend. At least. And maybe a three-dayer. I don't.
And definitely put a dent in the masturbation, I'm guessing.
Maybe not.
And
initially, yes, yes. I mean, that.
Just for a week or so.
Well, if they want in the morning, let's say, I'd skip an afternoon session and just pick up in the evening, something like that.
Yeah, I think Heidi was drunk.
Was that the case? Something's up.
Well, she's a good laugher anyway.
Yeah. She sounds
sweet. God bless
her. Yeah.
All right, so just a couple of snippets from the think tank done on Friday. We have 10-time Supercross champion Jeremy McGrath coming in here. I am a huge fan of this man. I've seen him race many times. We'll talk to him after this.
The Adam Carolla Show welcomes 10-time Supercross champion Jeremy McGrath. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Jeremy.
Good to see you.
I must say, Jeremy, I've gone to many of his races, always treats me like a king. Him and his dad with the huge beer gut hanging back in the pits.
Making margaritas.
Showing me the life. Jeremy is the biggest name in Supercross ever. Well, let's see. You have 60-something Supercross wins?
I have 72. 72 250 main event wins.
And who is second? How many wins?
I think it's Ricky Carmichael second now.
And what does he have?
Maybe almost 40, maybe.
So about half, close to half of what you have. And if anyone, I've said this many times, I don't feel like the motorcycle guys and the X-Sports guys get their due as far as athletes. I mean, if you want to call golfers athletes or race car drivers athletes, look, any one of us could hop into a stock car and do a few hot laps with an instructor in about 10 minutes and be hanging. I mean, you wouldn't be winning at Talladega, but you could do some laps. You can't hop. It's not like, well, hop on this 250 and just get 20-foot air and just go down. You don't have to do a flip or anything. You can't do it. When you go to one of these Supercross races, as I've been to many times, these guys are getting 20, 25 feet of air, doing the triple jumps lap after lap after lap. It's not one run like Evel Knievel. They're doing it times 20 laps and taking care of business when they're in the air. They're in the air and they're like, well, I think I got to check my BlackBerry. I'll pull this thing off my goggles. I'll readjust my stuff. This is time. The time that they're in the air is time. That's their own time. That's me time.
Yeah, that's the rest time.
Yeah, it's time you get to rest and fix stuff on the bike.
Take a few breaths and, you know.
It is absolutely amazing. What do you think of Travis Pastrana doing the double flip at the X Games?
I mean, if you would have asked me a year ago if someone would be doing a double backflip, I knew Travis. I know Travis, and he's racing the Invitational race next this Friday and Saturday. But I know him, and I knew he was working on that, but I really never thought it would be real. Like on dirt, like he did. So I was amazed. I was screaming at the TV just like everybody else.
I mean, you ever do that kind of stuff yourself? Are you able to do those things? Because this is what you do is very different than that. This is the flips and letting go of the bike.
I'm not really. I'm not really into the freestyle. I like it. The guys are amazing what they do, but I'm more of a racer.
But don't get Jeremy wrong. When he wins the Supercross race, he gets 20-foot air and does the can-can or the knack-knack or whatever. Yeah, I mean, he's doing stuff that was pretty amazing a few years ago. He's just not going for the full Superman or letting go of the bars or doing what these guys do. I mean, what these guys do in the freestyle stuff is If you take a picture of them at the zenith, at the peak, at their height, 20, 30, 40 feet in the air, if you took a picture of that and showed it to Supercross riders from 10 years ago, they'd say, oh, my God, this guy's dead because he's off the bike and he's turned over and the bike's upside down. I mean, if they just showed you pictures of what was done a few years back, you'd say, oh, the guy ate crap, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, even the new stuff that come out after X Games, it shows Travis, like, Superman, only his hands on the grips and upside down and spread away from the bike. You're like, there's no way he's making that.
It is absolutely amazing how far the sport has come in just a few short years. So you have your Invitational that's this weekend at the Home Depot Center. And this one's out in Carson. What goes on at this? You said Travis Pastrana will be there?
Yeah, Travis is racing. It's the first annual Jeremy McGrath Invitational. It's going to be the richest race in Supercross history. We have a $500,000 purse. We're giving some money away.
Now, is there money in the purse, or is it just a really expensive purse?
It's a nice handbag. Like,
I
was just
confused.
No, it's actually green.
Huh? And there's $500,000 to give away.
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're having a 2-night event. It's Friday night and Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to come check this out, Adam, because we're putting metal ramps on the track this time, 20-foot wide.
Not just the dirt ones.
Yeah. Not. It's going to be really kind of unique to what anyone's seen before.
You know what you need to have? I don't know if you have this, but every time I go to the Supercross race, they have the Pee-wee race in the middle of it. 5-, 6-, 7-year-olds on these KTM 50s, and these guys are like hot dogging it. One time a kid was leading the entire race. Of course, the crowd's going nuts. The kid's going nuts. I couldn't imagine being 6 years old in Anaheim with 60,000 screaming people, my face up on the Diamond Vision. One kid on the last lap tries to hot dog it like Jeremy McGrath. Oh. Eats crap. Loses the race.
Well, Jeremy, did you ride when you were a little tiny kid?
Yeah, I did. I rode when I was a kid. My dad used to ride. He's an enthusiast of the sport. And so I rode when I was a kid. I never raced until I was 14 because my mom was always worried about me getting hurt or something.
Are you
going to
put your little kids on there when you have them?
Yeah, of course. I mean, whether they want to race or not is a different story, but I would encourage.
You got to get in early and often. It's one of those sports where you just got to get on a bike when you're young. Otherwise, forget it.
Yeah,
you can't start in your 20s. Impossible to even think about what they do.
Especially nowadays, all those guys are starting young.
Tim wants to talk to you. Tim?
Adam, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just asked Jeremy about his race. This is going to be the first one. Is it all lights in the MX class, or are you going to ever have an amateur day, or what do you got going on?
Well, right now, it's the first one. We got to get it going off the ground, and we have an overwhelming response from everyone. But what we're doing is it's 20 guys invite only, and we're just combining the class, basically. So if you want to ride your 450 or your 250F, whatever. I mean, we have kids like Josh Hansen, Josh Grant, and a few younger guys that are going to race the smaller bikes against the 450s.
And that's cool. The 450s are four strokes?
Yeah, well, it's formerly to you known as the 250. That now everyone rides 450s because they're four strokes, so they get double the displacement.
Right. No, Dave, you know all about the thumpers versus the stuff that takes.
I just want to know if Pink's boyfriend Corey Hart's going to be there. That's all I know.
Yeah, well, we tried to get Carrie there.
Whatever, Carrie.
Carrie, Corey.
Corey's the guy who wore sunglasses.
No, he's
going to
be there. Carrie Hart's going to be there.
Is
for
he
sure.
really?
Yeah.
There he is.
He's going to do some TV for us.
Okay. And Pastrano's racing. And the winner, $500,000.
Well, here's how it works. We're going to do it's spread out all over. So Friday night and Saturday night
Here's Corey Hart.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if he's on the motocross circuit anymore.
So what we're doing is we're having a talking.
Jeremy, we're sorry. Yeah. Indulge
good.
Us.
I like it.
This is during that 80s important rock. People had to be really coked up to tolerate this. Yeah. So.
And then he married Pink.
More than one class. The money will be spread around. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what we're doing, we're having a traditional main event like you would know at the Supercross races.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an overall combined score of Friday night and Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
But on Friday night and Saturday, each in between, we're doing this thing that's never been done before. It's kind of like a match bracket racing,
mm-hmm.
kind of head-to-head match racing.
Uh-huh.
And so we're lining up
now,
the guys
now for those
one.
For those of you who don't know what bracket racing is, it's interesting. If you were doing let's say you're having a drag race.
Sure.
And Jeremy has his supercharged Mercedes, and Dave is driving his golf cart. He drives the Bob Hope golf cart. That's how he gets to work.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the Mercedes is faster, so it would kill you. So what do? We give you a head start.
Ah.
And that's bracket race. And we figure out that, you know, your light goes, you start going, and then we count to 10 Mississippi, and then Jeremy seizes if he can catch you. And if you do it right, you both cross the finish line at the same time. That's bracket racing.
That sounds fun to watch.
No, it's going to be good. We're not going to give anyone a head start, though. What we're going to do is just line up guys on the gate one-on-one, and then we're going to... It's a sprint, so we're going to race them two laps. If you beat whoever wins, keeps going. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to do an extra 35K to the winner of that per night. So.
Someone has a question for you. Shauna?
Hi there.
What's happening?
Not much. How are you doing?
Good. You have a question for Jeremy McGrath?
Yeah, just wondering if he's going to do any more supermoto races.
Adam, you know what supermoto
is. Yeah,
huh?
That's dirt and street
riding.
It's kind of exciting.
Yeah. They take the similar, it's like X Games, so they have that event there. Supermoto right now, I'm considering doing the Long Beach race, which is the last one. That's Troy Lee's race.
Right. So, my husband's supposed to be there, but I'm due to give birth that weekend, so he races also.
Well, he'll be there though, right?
Well.
Where do you guys live at? I hope it's close by.
We live in Sacramento.
Okay. Well, he won't be there then, I would assume.
Yeah, you were doing pretty good at the X Games one. Did you have some trouble with your fuel tank, or was that somebody else?
No, that was me, yeah.
I was watching, yeah.
Gosh. Travis took me out
clearly.
On the start.
Yes.
You know how crazy Travis is. So I came from the back and caught up. I moved into third. Our pit stop was great, but we used a dry brake on the gas tank where it's kind of quick fuel, kind of like NASCAR style, where you just jam the can in there and fill up. And when I took off out of the pits, the dry brake stuck down. So when I was riding on the track, gas was getting all over me, and I had to stop or I would end up burning myself.
Bill?
Yeah, this is Bill.
You got a question for Jeremy McGrath?
Actually, I don't want to interrupt all this hero worship. But
King of the Supercross. Yes, go ahead.
I have kind of a different view of Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take you back a couple years. I lived on in Escondido Way. I'm driving up through Encinitas, coming up from Del Mar, up the 101 there.
Yeah. Jeremy, you're from that area, right?
Yeah, from Encinitas.
Going to make a right on Leucadia.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, Southern California, right on red, is perfectly legal.
Mm-hmm.
There's a parking lot there. Out comes your guest there. He's driving some Dodge, a Dodge pickup, I think. And
He's got it right.
Comes out on the street. I have to lock up my car. I got a truck, too. I lock it up. I got my boys in the car. I just kind of give them a wave, like, hey, what's up? This guy comes piling out of his truck, screaming at me, you know? Next thing I know, my door's open. He's fighting me where I'm this intersection.
Please. Fighting him. Well, you got the truck right. You got the neighborhood
right, but there's no road rage in my blood.
Oh, okay. So maybe explain this to me. We're down on the ground, okay? And we're wrestling around a little bit. And next thing I know, this guy's got his thumb in my... Can I say anus? Can I say ass?
I think you can,
yeah. He's got his thumb in my ass.
Well, that's his move.
Why did you do that, Jeremy?
He calls it the can-can. That's a single can-can.
Yeah. He's taking up the Hershey Highway. There's his thumb inside me, okay? My kids are in the truck.
Wow. No son should have to see his father go through that.
Thank you, Adam. They shouldn't.
Well, I don't know, Jeremy. He's got the neighborhood right. He's got the street right. He's got the truck right. Saying he's got the wrong thumb.
I just want to. What's up with that?
I don't know, man. Just one of those weird days, I guess.
Yeah, weird days. I want to know what he rides with those. What's the inside of that motorcycle glove smell like?
Well, that's a fair question.
It smells like gold, baby.
Yeah,
that's
what it does.
Texas D. Brown gold.
This guy, you know what? BMX means something totally different to this guy.
Oh, wow. All right, look, I've heard enough of these insults unless you have more.
Siskel and Ebert. Gone Wild. I don't know.
Okay, that's enough then. I've heard enough.
But why did you do that, Jeremy?
Well, you know, I was having a hard day.
I see.
I understand. The man's a competitor.
Had to relieve some stress.
You don't just turn it off when you leave the track.
Yeah.
You understand? It's a switch. It gets thrown. It's hard to turn off.
Exactly.
All right. Jeremy McGrath, thank you very much. McGrath Invitational coming up this weekend. Home Depot Center out in Carson. $500,000 on the line, and not only see Jeremy there, but Travis Pastrana will be there.
Travis Pastrana, Kevin Windham. We have a lot of great guys.
David Give Pastrana the thumb.
Yeah, maybe I'm going to try that one on him.
Great to see you, Jeremy, as usual.
Good to see you, Adam.
We'll take
Thanks, you guys. Quick
break. News and sports. T, what's in the news when we come back?
Well, that Republican representative that was sending the pervy emails, big news about him this morning. And also, what happens when you mix an angry ex-boyfriend, nude pictures, and a car?
Well, you get a thumb up the bung of an innocent motorist.
Close.
You're Jeremy McGrath. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
A restaurant review with the Deaf Frat Guy.
Today's review, Le Cirque in Las Vegas. Step from the Bellagio Casino into this elegant temple of gastronomy where synchronized servers deliver superb new French cuisine and delectable desserts. Lusciously colored, overstuffed chairs make the intimate room feel like sitting inside a jukebox. But I say save your money for the blackjack table or shots at the Spearmint Rhino. Le Cirque needs more food and less food. Three potato gun blasts.
Speaking of more food, less food. Teresa with the news.
Well, one Republican leader is hungry for rehab this morning. That is Mark Foley. He made a lot of news this weekend because on Friday he quit Congress amid a big scandal. Apparently, there were some email exchanges between him and a teenage boy who was a page in the White House. Amid these allegations, he quit. The emails and text messages, some of which are posted on ABC.com, are pretty sexually charged. Now, it appears he is in rehab. According to a statement, he says, quote, I strongly believe that I am an alcoholic and have accepted the need for immediate treatment for alcoholism and other behavioral problems.
Yeah. I'm drunk 3 days out of the week, but I don't have a hankering for 15-year-old boys.
Well,
booze or
do?
Not. Well, this has become the in vogue thing, which is you're someone in the news, you're a popular figure, whether it's a movie star or a politician, you get busted for something despicable, so you go into rehab as if booze fueled the whole thing.
Booze makes you hate Jews.
Booze makes you hate Jews.
It makes you get hookers and crack. Like
if you drink, you do drink Manischewitz, though, you do hate the Jews or whoever made it because it's awful.
It tastes good like prune juice with just a cap of rubbing alcohol mixed in.
That is a reason to hate the Jews.
Point is, I think rehabs are now going to have to start a secondary ward for people that aren't actually there to rehab, but just to say they went to rehab to escape the spotlight. So I'll just go to that room when you check into rehab. Do you seriously have a problem with the substance, or are you just here because you're a congressman who got busted looking at kiddie porn? Oh, okay, then you can go over there. Oh, drink all you want, by the way. Just hang tight for 3 weeks, and we'll bring you out.
Well, another disturbing aspect of the story is that there are reports that the House Speaker was well aware that this guy had inappropriate contact with these teenage pages. He's saying he thought they were just overly friendly. If you read them, they are very, very graphic. He starts out asking the kid about lacrosse practice, and he ends up asking what position he masturbates in, and then there's stuff about a towel, and where it's very explicit.
You should have zero interest in all kids other than your own. Anytime you show any interest, oh, if you want to coach a little Pop Warner football, that's your business. But when you really have interest in young folks, when there's a lot of correspondence going on between you and people that are 40 years your junior, something's up. Because real, natural people, when the mind is sort of where it should be, yes, you care about your family, you care about your own kids, and then you sort of care about the community. Oh, you coach a little soccer if your kid is on the team. That's it. Anything more than that, we got a problem.
Well, I've always said pediatricians are scumbags.
That's right.
Well, Foley had a... Foley had an interesting angle because one of these kids was from Louisiana. So after Katrina, he wanted to get in touch with him to see whether or not he was okay. And then this led to a variety of instant messages and emails that are very, very inappropriate.
That's got to be nice, though. I like as they dovetail into the porn talk. How you doing? How's your folks? Great. You guys got enough drinking water? Generator I sent you there? Good. Fine. Are you in your underpants? I just like when it starts to move from whatever topic they said it was going to be into the sexual part.
Oh, it was completely fascinating. I thought, well, I should just look at it for the news. And then I read 9 pages of this instant message back and forth. And it is interesting how a sexual predator, if indeed he is one, and the allegations, you know, are the FBI is investigating him. But it's interesting to see how it starts out innocent enough, and it starts out about lacrosse practice, and then it segues into, I mean, he doesn't just launch into what are you wearing.
Right.
He moseys in.
Sure.
Okay, now, in another story, you've all heard urban myths about a couple that breaks up, and then somehow he sends the porn tape to her parents, or there's some other kind of weird revenge. Well, this weekend, a 24-year-old Connecticut man was arrested. Here's what he did. He broke up with his girlfriend. She was a student at Western Connecticut State University. He took nude pictures, and he drove through campus and littered 208 naked pictures of his ex-girlfriend about the campus. Mm-hmm. Somebody saw him doing this. They called the cops. The cops came in and spent more than an hour collecting the 5x7-inch photos. Then they arrested him, and they had to charge him with littering because there was really nothing else they could charge him with. So they charged him with littering and arrested him. The case is going to be tried in court in October.
Well, you should always recycle the pictures of your girlfriend's boobies. That's what that Indian by the side of the road taught me when he was crying. Yeah. Geez, that's tough. He broke up with her. I bet she broke up with him.
She broke up with him, yes.
That's why you do that.
Yeah, he was 24 and she was still in college, and I guess he wanted to get revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, now here's the thing. In my mind, I pictured badly lit amateur photos. According to the victim, they were modeling photos.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, though, I go with Ace's friend Donnie's big plan, which was when a woman broke up with him and he hit her with a pie in the face. That is the best.
Yes. Yeah. Much more. There's much more dignity involved with that act.
So true. And speaking of dignity, Dateline NBC was back on Friday night after taking some time off from catching predators. This time, they set up a young actress, an 18-year-old, in a backyard with a jacuzzi and had her offering lemonade to people who she met online. She was telling people online that she was a 13-year-old virgin. Now, Chris Hansen was ready when the pedophiles showed up, and here's a little snippet of that.
Thought you were supposed to be in the hot tub already.
Oh, I'm just getting dressed. I've got a surprise for you.
I guess I'm probably not the surprise you expected, am I?
You are exactly the surprise.
Why don't you have a seat over there for me?
You're exactly what I was expecting.
I am?
Pretty much.
Then why did you come anyway?
You know, I don't know. Because I'm really stupid.
People have seen the show now, so they know. In the first year they did this, they thought it was the chick's dad, which was funny in its own way.
Yes.
Always, you know, it's funny when people are scared, S-less, and surprised, they go into super casual mode. He'd just come, it'd be like, come on in, have some sweet tea and some Toll House cookies. I'm going to go get dressed upstairs. The guy, of course, would just come in, sit himself down in the kitchen, and then Chris Hansen would walk through the door, and he'd go, how are you doing, sir? And he'd go, Oh, fine. How are you going? And it gets super, super casual thinking it's the guy's dad, not wanting to be panicky
or
jittery.
One guy thought it was the dad, but most people by now see him and they're like, oh, that's the guy from the Catching a Predator thing.
Mm. It's way better than punked.
That's why I got to tell you, when I do this, when I look for underage chicks on the internet, I now carry a headshot of Chris Hansen with me. Perhaps I'm saying too much, but if and when I get busted, I pull it right out. Just looking for your autograph, buddy. That's all. That's why I'm here. What could you do? No court in the land would convict you if you had that picture ready.
Well,
and a Sharpie?
Chris, come on. What Chris Hansen does have ready is he comes out and he's got the entire transcript of the very, very sexual conversation.
That's the part that's rough because were you talking to her on the internet? Yeah, well, you know, just saying what's up, how's it going, that kind of stuff. We talked a little. We both play rotisserie baseball, so we talked a little about our teams. Really? Because it says here on page 128, you want to devour their panties.
And Chris Hansen has another move, which is often the predators have sent a photo of their genitalia. So when they start trying to back off and he busts out the photo, then they say, did you send this picture of you? And he always asks, Brian, this question.
Which one, the second
one? No, the third.
I'll tell you, I spent a lot of time online in the last 10 years.
Is this addiction? Is it loneliness? Is it something that you have tried to get help for in the past?
I haven't tried to get help. I've tried to deal with it myself.
I don't think I was going to have sex with a 13-year-old girl.
Right. But everyone has a tub of margarine and a case of condoms with them. And then the email part where it says, are your parents home and are you a virgin? And I'll have to take it easy on you. Yes.
Without fail, they all had condoms, beer, and some sort of fast food. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Let me say this. Hold on one second. I will tell you the most disturbing. There are many disturbing facets to this internet thing where they can go try to get on top of underage women from soliciting them from the internet. But the most disturbing part is what the guys are wearing when they show up. Guys wearing flip-flops, cut-off sweats, and a bad-to-the-bone t-shirt with a gravy stain on it. This is what you wear to get laid? That's the part. I know, and it's so funny because my wife is talking about the poor girls that are being victimized, and I'm screaming about the guy's choice of dress. But it's like the guys you see in court wearing a velour shirt with a tear in the sleeve. Like, this is what you're going to go meet somebody for the first time, and you're going to have sex with them, and you're wearing some filthy velour sweatpants and flip-flops. Yeah. You don't have one pair of decent jeans and a button-up shirt in the closet? This is what you wear to get laid? You want to talk about brazen? That's the most brazen act in this crime.
You're right. 100% of the guys showed up disheveled.
I know.
They had driven for miles.
Guys are like smoking and have torn shirts. Like, you should just take a shower and put a button up. There's people I've learned from watching TV and especially NASCAR. There are people I don't think that I own a one button up shirt. And in this day and age of Old Navy's on every goddamn corner in America, there's no excuse anymore. One shirt.
It's $8. Go to Old Navy.
Just one shirt with buttons on it.
That's how I roll.
My first day of college, I had all my stuff. I was moving it in. My freshman roommate at Indiana University, he was from French Lick, Indiana. He got in on hanger. He hung up, and this is absolutely true. He hung up a royal blue tank top with matching royal blue bike shorts, the coach's shorts.
Yes.
He had gold ones, and he had red ones, and some underpants.
Wow.
Not one button-up shirt.
Oh, no.
These are the guys you see at the weddings and the funerals. By the way, Big Tad's one of them you don't have to look very far. These are the guys who are at the weddings, they're in court, they're at funerals. They have a long-sleeve sweatshirt they wear for special occasions. Not one button-up shirt in the arsenal. There's no excuse. I don't care how goddamn poor you are, you can just go to a thrift store and get a long sleeve shirt.
And by the way, the actress they hired, very attractive. You felt bad for her.
Yeah,
Let it begin now.
Sorry.
It's an embarrassment of riches for fans of Southern California style baseball. The Dodgers are in the playoffs as the wild card. The Padres are in as the NL West champions. Probably more satisfying, though, for the Blue Bum since they clinched it up in San Francisco right in front of Barry the Creep Bonds and Company. Now, Barry the Creep, of course, all the steroid allegations. Now, Astros legend Roger Clemens has been charged with the same, as has Orioles all-star shortstop Miguel Tejada, who gave this resounding denial yesterday.
I don't have no comment. What can I do? I don't have no comment. I say I don't have no comment, please. I don't have no comment. I don't want to say anything. I don't have no comment. I can't say anything right now. I don't have no comment.
I hear Clemens threw at the judge already. Backed him off the desk.
We can talk about the playoffs tomorrow, but right now let's huddle up. It's time to talk about the weekend that was in football. Name of the week, college style, Lemuel Jean-Pierre, South Carolina defensive lineman. I love that name. Best audition for the Ultimate Fighting League, Titans Albert Haynesworth. Did you see what he did? He ripped the helmet off of Cowboy center Andre Garrard and then stomped on his face with his cleat.
Giving him 30 stitches in the head?
Yes, this isn't just a penalty. This is a crime.
I'll tell you what, this is a felony. I'll tell you what I like about that kid. He's got moxie because when he was thrown out of the game and his coach, Jeff Fisher, went to talk to him on the sideline, he was angry as all get out at Fisher. I like that. You stomp a guy in the head, and then you yell at your coach.
Here's how Albert Haynesworth explained it after the game, though.
I don't play that way.
Oh, all
right. See, he doesn't play that way. So it was an illusion.
I don't play that way.
It didn't happen at all. It was my mistake. Performance of the weekend. A high school kid in West Virginia. Get a load of this, Ace. His name's Paul McCoy. 22 carries. 658 yards rushing and 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
658 yards in one game. 10 touchdowns. That's ridiculous.
I don't want praise heaped on him. I want to shame the defense of the opponent that he scored 600 and something, some odd yards on.
It was the West Virginia School of the Blind.
That they were playing. Well, they should still kill themselves.
Now, worst time zone to be from if you're an NFL fan, the Pacific time zone. Niners shut out 41-0 by the previously winless Chiefs. Chargers lost in the last minute at the Ravens. Oakland blew a 21-3 lead at home to the woeful Cleveland Browns. The Seattle Seahawks shamed in Chicago on national TV by the Bears. Mm. The only good thing is that Kurt Warner sucks so bad that the Matt Leinart era must be nigh. Now, the thing that annoys me each and every week is Sunday Night Football, not the game itself, but of course the lead-in, the theme song sung by Pink. It's a Joan Jett cover. She covers I Hate Myself for Loving You, except that she changed the lyrics. I wait all day for Sunday night. Now, you think that's bad. I have gotten my hands on some of the failed efforts. This one by George Michael. Take a listen to this.
I'm gonna watch a football game. Those big black guys are giving me a boner. Though I don't know what's going on, I'm playing with my tune.
That's awful.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
The original George Michael song that was modeled after is on my top 10 of all time just blow-ass songs.
Oh,
anyone
who
dances
is
to
divine.
That is AIDS gay, number one. That's super gay.
Wow.
That's and level five.
Level five. And I'm never going to dance again. Guilty feet have got no rhythm. And then that horrible 80 sax piles in. Anyone who enjoys that song needs to just take their own life. Much like the defense that was playing that kid that got 600 yards. All right, we'll take a break. And the good news is our prisoner David is calling in from the joint. Always a good time for a guy who's in there for another 25 years or so. We'll speak to him. He's an actual prisoner. He's in an actual maximum security prison out here in California. And we'll talk to David after this.
You asked for it, now you've got it. Less ads, more Adam. The Adam Carolla Show. In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. But who represents the criminals? We do.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
It's prison time on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, we have our prisoner, David, on the phone. David, are you there?
Yes, Adam. What's happening?
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
It's my favorite part.
Yeah.
So, David, you're in there for, you didn't murder anybody, but you were attempting to do it, or
yes.
Conspiracy to commit murder, right?
Yes.
And you got how many years?
25 to life. Can you imagine that?
25. And you've been in for 8 years? How long's it been?
Been in 13.
Oh, 13. Hmm. Well, time flies. And you'll come up on parole when?
About 2015.
Seems like a while before parole.
Oh, definitely. Long ways.
So you're in the joint, and you're in there with a guy. There's a guy in there who says he knows me.
Yes, and I have him right here. I want to just get right to it because he has a lot to talk about.
I got a letter from him, and I read it, but I still don't really believe him or remember him. But put him on.
Okay, here he is. Adam, here's Jamie. Hey, what's up, bro?
What's happening, Jamie?
Oh, man, not a lot.
Now, how long are you in for, Jamie?
I got 111 to life.
Uh-oh.
111?
Yeah, 111.
Where'd they come up with that? Two life?
I got four life sentences.
Oh, man.
Weed.
What'd you do?
I was a freelance chef for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cooking that stuff I shouldn't be cooking.
Mm-hmm. What? Ah. Cooking up a little meth, perhaps?
Yes, I was.
But 111 years to life for drugs?
Yeah, well, I got a receiving stolen property and
They said I was under the influence while I was driving, so I got 25 years life for each one of those, too.
But you must have had a bunch of priors, right?
I had two burglary priors, one as a juvenile and one as an adult.
And that was it?
Huh?
And life a life sentence for cooking up drugs. You never killed anyone or injured anyone.
Nope. I saved you the paperwork if you want to read it.
Wow. Well, I believe you.
So
now you say we know each other from where?
Well, I was a year hitty in high school. I used to go there just to watch you get knocked on your butt when you're playing Rock Center.
You went to North Hollywood High?
Yeah, for about a year and a half.
Who was your counselor?
Oh, geez, man. That was about, that was in 79, 78.
You should give his name because he should really be fired. he didn't give very good advice.
Told him to be a chef.
Well, yeah, I know.
Name me one of your teachers.
Studer, I think, something like that.
Name one of the halls the schools were in, two hallways.
Oh, man, I can't, man.
At least you weren't a liar.
What was the name?
Oh, I'm not a liar.
What was the name of the football team at North Hollywood High?
Hey, you know what? I can't remember that.
Now hold on a second.
I can tell you stuff that nobody else knows.
Like
really?
Like what?
Well, you know, Adam. You know, well, I don't know if you know Adam had a big fro.
No one knows that.
I mean, you know, that's kind of obvious.
I was one of the first paisans to sport the Jufro.
Right.
Yeah, you know, pretty much, but.
This call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Ray used to do all the stupid stuff in the quad.
Yes, Ray, doing stupid things in the quad. Well, that sounds about right.
That was all, I mean, that was all the time, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know.
David, I got to say this. I mean, Jamie.
My name's Jamie,
yes, I must say this. I read your very detailed letter, and I got your wonderful drawing.
Oh, you liked that, huh?
What was the drawing of?
It was a wolf.
Well, it was you, Adam.
It was me with a wolf's head yelling into a microphone.
With a little bit of slobber in the, 5 o'clock shadow in the universe.
More popular theme than the Pegasus in prison.
Dad's going to have that tattooed on his shoulder.
Yeah. You know, I have a feeling that almost everyone can draw if given enough time, because every guy in the joint becomes a master artist. And I feel like we all have this talent, but we have TiVo, we have food, we have sex, we have all the things that keep us away from it. But I feel if I was locked down 14 hours out of the day, I'd be a pretty good artist as well. But I realize, Jamie, that you learned everything you learned from watching my TLC show.
We don't have your TLC here.
What?
You don't have TLC in prison?
Hell,
that's
no.
Cruel and unusual.
What do you have, though? You have cable, don't you?
No, we got ABC, CBS, NBC. Mm.
You're a big Ugly Betty fan.
Well, I got it. I got to tell you this. This is now cruel and unusual punishment. I didn't mind you guys, you know, working for pennies an hour or, you know, breaking rocks in a chain gang or eating slop for meals, but not getting basic cable in the joint.
No sports.
No
center.
CNN, no MTV.
Nope.
Criminal.
I would build my own electric chair and kill myself.
Hey, they even took our CW from us.
Oh, you can't watch America's Next Top Model?
Nope. Ugh. We don't have UPN, CW, none of that stuff.
Oh, where's the ACLU?
All
we
right.
Just got ABC.
Well, so, Jamie, you were a year ahead of me in high school.
A year, yeah.
And then what happened? You got thrown out?
I quit about 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to do other adventures. I got married, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My wife does movies.
Well, 100. What kind of movies?
Oh, not porn.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, 111 years for drugs.
I think he's leaving something out of the story.
Did you have a decent attorney?
Yeah, I had out of Victory Plaza.
What?
You went and just got it from a strip mall?
No, you know, Victory Plaza is, right there on Victory and, Canoga. You know, the big plaza right there?
Yeah.
Where they got all the attorneys. You know, I had... good attorneys.
I know, but 111 years for drugs.
Oh, like I said, receiving stolen property, you know, and they still was driving under the influence.
Well, now, when does it come up? When do you come up for parole?
I come up for parole in 2104.
Oh.
2104. Yeah.
It's like 19 recorded calls.
Oh, you come up like 90,
California
98 years?
Facility.
In 98 more years.
Well, just take good care of yourself.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How does that work that you don't have parole for 100 years? Because I mean, you don't have a meeting, at least see a parole board.
No, I don't even go to the board until 2104.
Was this a third strike thing?
Yes.
I don't think he's being completely honest. He's leaving out one of the tape. Here's his arrest on tape, as a matter of fact.
Thought you were supposed to be in the hot tub already.
Oh, I'm just getting dressed. I've got a surprise for you.
I guess I'm probably not the surprise you expected, am I?
You're exactly the surprise.
Why don't you have a seat over there for me?
You're exactly what I was expecting.
I made some sweet
tea. Do you like To Catch a Predator? Is that a good show in jail? People watch that?
What's that?
To Catch a Predator on Dateline?
Oh, yeah. Some people watch it. I don't watch it, you know, because it makes me mad.
Well, Jamie.
Because you guys glorify it, and it's not, you know.
It's not funny.
No, it's like Prison Break. I don't watch Prison Break because they glorify, you know, the child molester on there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's not right.
Right.
You know, and that's like when you told David I was probably a child molester, you know, I was like, I was good. Pissed.
Yeah, because you'll get hurt in the joint for that.
Yeah.
Oh, but guys know me, but so they know that I'm not.
They know you that way.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you got a beef with the way I talk in 104 years, Jamie, when you get out and I'm 146 years old and you're like 152, we will get it on. We will throw down, baby.
Hey, I figure this way, man. If I'm still walking, I can knock somebody out with something.
All right.
You know, my walker or whatever.
But, all right. Well, listen, let me ask this, though, philosophically, Jamie. You are going to be in here for the rest of your life, right?
Unless the three strikes law passes.
Right.
Kind of way.
All right. Yeah. And what is the plan? I mean, it's interesting because life, in one way, life is over, but technically it's not. I mean, there's work that could be done. There are books that could be written. There are people that could be reached, even from inside the prison. Do you think about that? And if so, what is the thought?
Well, I've been asked to write a book.
You
as
have?
A matter of fact, yes. Some lady out of New York, she does a lot of prisoners' books for Schweitzer's books or something. And I didn't want to write it at the time because I have a lot of not ghosts in my past, but things that I would be afraid of being rearrested for.
But you know, you already have 108 years. How much worse could it get?
Yeah, not much. But what if the three strikes law passes?
I see.
They have to cut me loose right then.
You don't want to tell a tell-all because it could be incriminating.
Exactly.
How about a children's book?
What?
All right, Jamie, we're plumb out of time.
I feel bad for Jamie that he's already atoned for his sins at Yom Kippur. I'm sure he's fasting today. Happy Yom Kippur,
by the way.
Recorded call from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
All right, Jamie, well, listen, give my love to David. I'm assuming you guys will still be incarcerated next week when we speak to you. I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Oh, unfortunately.
And start working on Wally the Warden.
And that's right, the children's book. We're also do want to do a show from the joint.
Yeah.
Like Johnny Cash did. We're going to work that out. Anyway, we'll take a break. Still unsure whether I went to high school with that guy or not.
No.
Anyway, when we come back, we'll do a little Hollywood happenings, what's going on at the box office, winners, losers, all that after this.
Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
I've always felt that Nietzsche is heavy-handed and self-important.
Dirty girl. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
We're going to do a little Hollywood happenings. It's Monday. A lot of entertainment news going on over the weekend. And we have our own Teresa Strasser to fill us in. Never thought this song would be playing.
I know. Okay, let's talk about the weekend box office.
Thank you.
Weekend box office.
That crap we play all the time.
That's true. All the time. Poor Brian. One time. He tried to bring sexy back. Instead, he got shamed.
That's right.
Brought shame back. Okay, this weekend at the box office, Ashton Kutcher is in both the number one and the number two.
Oh, there
movies.
Is a God. Thank God. Finally, that kid caught a break.
Finally. So much going against him.
Yeah.
He was in Open Season, which is an animated movie that topped the box office with $23 million, and he was also in the Coast Guard movie The Guardian with Kevin Costner that made $17.7 million. Coming in at number three, Jackass number two with $14 million.
It's nice to know the perseverance pays off for Kutcher. You know, that kid kicked around for a full 3 weeks between 17 and a half and 17 and three quarters before he landed the gig on That 70 Show, and he's paid his dues.
But ultimately, this is a huge failure. The Guardian, this is regarded as a flop, right?
No, I mean, it came in number two, and often animated movies will do very well because families can go see them. I think the big flop is probably School for Scoundrels, which came in at number four with $9.1 million. It was expected to do better. Now, in television, what is the most watched new series? That is ABC's Ugly Betty, which is produced by Selma Hayek and stars America Ferrera. It's kind of The Devil Wears Prada, and it's adapted from a telenovela. Now, here's what happened. They put it on against Survivor, and it actually, in the second half hour, beat Survivor. On Thursday nights, getting it started with 16.3 million, and then by the end of the hour, it had top Survivor. Here's a little...
My beloved Survivor.
Oh, no.
I do my dance and everything. I'm my Survivor
dance. That's true.
I have now implemented my young daughter. The boy's too fat, but I implemented my young daughter into my Survivor dance, you know, doing the Heisman pose, working the child in. It's really nice.
Well, it's still, you know, doing very well, but the new series, Ugly Betty, on top. Last week, Grey's Anatomy was the top show. Here's a little snippet of that.
I like you. And I like you. And I thought I had a choice to make. I thought I had to decide. But I think I owe myself the chance to consider my options.
Options?
Should she be with McDreamy or the McVet?
Yeah. Why is this show? Listen, I'm not somebody
Chicks
who's. I realize.
Show.
I get that. You know, I can at least acknowledge it. Something's well done, even though it's not made for me. For instance, Full House. I always liked that. That was geared for kids. I always thought that's a fine show for little kids.
Right.
Now this show, which is geared for women, Grey's Anatomy.
Yes, I enjoy it.
Yes.
But she, the star of the show, is just
she's a little troubling.
She's a filthy whore, and then everybody loves
her.
Come
on,
she sleeps around.
Well,
she's a tramp.
She's a little bit anorexic with a little bit of collagen in the lips. It's distracting.
Yes.
But her character on the show is not a whore.
It's a good show, but it's in love with itself, and I don't like that. I don't like it when a show thinks it's precious. That was always the problem with Will and Grace.
Yes, and
so
you can tell
precious.
Because they have the voiceover, and that's always a sign that the show's a little bit in love with itself. Okay, now, the big Hollywood gossip. We heard a little from Perez Hilton on Friday, but now it's come out. Eva Longoria and Tony Parker. Have they broken up or have they not? Now, their people seem to have confusing reports. Eva Longoria's people say that they're just going through a difficult time right now. Just like any other couple with extremely demanding careers. And then Parker's reps say their relationship is solid as ever. Page Six says Parker stepped out with his ex-girlfriend and was cheating. And that's the trouble.
Yeah. So long to that tan propeller.
Lastly, In Touch Weekly. In Touch Weekly has come out with a list of Hollywood's best booties. I know.
They're really doing the Lord's work over there.
They're doing the Lord's work. Number five, Halle Berry. Number four, Jessica Biel. Number three, Selma Hayek. Number two, Jessica Simpson. And number one.
I bet you it's J-Lo, right?
Beyonce.
Beyonce.
Well, of course, it had to be a big one because that women need to be validated and be told that it's all right to have a gigantic can.
What?
You have a turd cutter the size of the Hindenburg, but you're beautiful.
That's right.
Because it's shapely, because you got back, baby. Now, we don't like that. Too much ass for us.
But there's such a thing as too little ass.
There is.
Very true.
Right.
Yes. And that's
meeting.
Why
happy
you
meeting is Jessica Alba or something like that.
There
she tasted like champagne.
Well, Jessica Alba is number 10 on the list. So the good people of In Touch Weekly have listened to you. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that was Hollywood Happenings.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap up and wrap out after this. All right, well, just enough time for a little something called So What Have We Learned? Well, thank you. Just leave it. Really, there are human beings that enjoy this song. It's played at every goddamn wedding I've ever been to. First off, it's porn sax. It's softcore porn sax from the 80s, followed by the line, I'm never going to dance again because guilty feet have got no rhythm. Oh, God, what is wrong with this country that these kind of songs become hits?
Whoa.
All right, we've learned that nothing says I don't know how to gamble like a tattoo of flaming cards and dice, ironically. Big Tad sports that. I've learned that you got to treat women like they're cats. We've learned that you should have zero interest in any kid other than your own. And I'm going to take a step further. I will show no interest in my kid. I'll show you how straight I am. And last but not least, if you're going to hit up a 13-year-old you met on the internet and show up at her house for some sweet tea and Toll House cookies, at least have the decency to put on a sweater.
Good times.
Well, there you go. I want to thank Jeremy McGrath for coming in here. He's got his Invitational this weekend at the Home Depot Center, Friday and Saturday. It is good times over there. Do not miss that. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.